participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Let's get retarded in here.
Everybody, everybody, get into it, get stoked, get retarded, get retarded, get retarded.
Hello.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show was live from Iceland in May of 2003, but to get to Iceland, you have to get to the airport. And here is the talk of the show's problematic trip to the airport to catch their plane to Iceland. It's the best of Don and Mike.
I guess the first thing we have to do is explain what happened on Friday. Now, you guys were probably disappointed that we weren't there. And maybe, Rob, I know you weren't. Maybe if you were listening to the show, you even noted that Mike and I cut some stuff, some ads and stuff, saying we're not here. We were there at the radio station, ready to do at least part of the show.
I believe that anybody that was driving around the Washington, D.C. area on Friday will understand exactly what our dilemma was, because I have lived in the greater Washington area for over 20 years, and I have never seen a day like that.
Well, it was raining. It was, I guess the excuse was Mother's Day.
I suppose now somehow Mother's Day is an excuse for people to take off. I think that's well, hell, we were leaving.
Yeah. And also the weather people had everybody in a panic because there was tornadoes in Kansas, and we had a chance of rain. And anyway, it took me like an hour and 10 minutes to get to work, and it took Mike over an hour. And by the time we got to work, and she's not here right now, so I'm going to say kudos to Michelle Combs. What's her married name?
Manti.
Michelle Manti.
What was it? You want to clear that throat first?
Can I get a plate over here, please?
Michelle Manti, who is the account executive. She didn't wear her sport bra, incidentally, yesterday, and yeah. She really should have.
She really should have.
She's the sales weasel that set this trip up. So she has us flying out of the Baltimore airport on Friday afternoon. Now, normally, if there's no traffic, to get from Washington to Baltimore, Washington International Airport, it takes you about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on 65, it takes you about an hour if there's no traffic at all. Friday afternoon, Mike and I made the decision, along with Rob and even the great non-believer, Charles Broyhill,
yes,
who called the traffic service,
right,
to verify the fact that traffic was effed up.
Yeah.
So we ended up leaving the station right before the show was going to go on the air so that we could go and catch the airplane.
But there was only one of our crew who early on, I believe a month or so ago, suggested an earlier departure time.
Hi, Mike. here's the problem, and we have nothing but good things to say about Iceland Air. Man, is that a sweet flight?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the problem is they got like one flight a day.
Don't they have two?
Well, they got two? Well, then why weren't we on the other one?
Well, the other one leaves in the morning, and we were still thinking that we might be able to do some of the show, but with the traffic, there was no way we could do the show make it to the airport.
They got one that leaves in the morning, and one leaves in the very late afternoon, bordering on evening.
Nice.
And we ended up getting on that flight,
right,
and we thought, if we did like an hour of the show on Friday, and we left at 4 o'clock, there would be a very good chance, being as we were flying international and there's all that 9/11 crap at the airport, that we were not going to be able to make our flight. Plus, we're bringing all this equipment over, and you know how they act now when you go through the metal detector, if you have like a laptop or a DVD.
Takes a long time.
Try explaining the machine that plays this.
Have I told you you're my favorite?
You know, try explaining to the guy as he's looking at this piece of equipment that this is a giant digital recorder that plays sounds like that.
Exactly.
So anyway, we made the decision. Sorry about Friday. There was nothing we could do about it. And as it turns out, it's a good thing that we left when we did.
Oh, yeah.
Because we made it to the airport with about an hour to spare. And there was going to be a car that was going to pick us up.
Yeah, and the car was scheduled to pick us up to be at the radio station at 5:30 Eastern time. Unfortunately, we had to leave earlier. It took us approximately 2 hours to get to the airport.
Two and a half.
Two and a half hours to get to the airport. And
now,
it was really We would not have made the flight, and so we were all very relieved that we had made the right decision.
Yeah. Now, here's where the fun begins. Here's how the groups broke up when we're leaving the station. I was going to drive, of course, you know, Mr. Type A. And I think Mike was going to drive as well, but Buzz was the wild card, and Buzz said, I want to drive.
Yeah, yeah, and I like Buzz's car, and I like riding with Buzz because Buzz lives, you know, in Fairfax, and so he is able usually to drop me off at the radio station. So it's become now kind of a routine that I travel with Buzz, and we did get a little competitive.
So it was Buzz and Mike in one car, and me and Rob and the Broyhills in my car, and Buzz and Mike took off in front of us.
Who was in your car?
Rob. What did I say?
No, I'm sorry. I wanted you to say that again.
Listen, I love to hear it too.
I'll get to that. I've got a page on that.
Mike is a little, there's no better word to put it. He's a little jealous of the fact.
If you want to spin it that way, that's okay.
Of the fact, and I told you, you're my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Rob's my best buddy.
Oh, no. No. I'm not going to let you off that easily.
Rob thinks that, listen, just because I enjoy Rob's...
We could get into this right now. We should lead with this, really.
No, we shouldn't.
The page that I have written down, Rob and Don are gay.
No, we are going to do things in chronological
order. Very good.
Order,
I'll accept that.
And I am going to be able to give you evidence that we're not gay.
Okay.
We're just friends.
There was a strong theory, not from me, but from the Icelandic contingent,
yeah,
that there might be something
from those
more.
Guys, from Paul McCartney and the guy from Trainspotting? Those guys,
we have to get chronological order.
Okay,
we will get to it when we get to it.
All right, so boy, when we get to Rob with the earrings, though, that sure is going to be bad for my side.
Yeah, but you know what? Hey, on that one, I'm going to defend you because that was more comedy than gay.
It was also about greed.
We leave the station. and Buzz is in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, when you made the big left-hand turn by the Exxon station, where incidentally, if you missed that. You have to sit like 10 minutes for the lights to cycle.
Yeah,
Buzz made it through, and Robbie will tell you I was pissed because I thought, man, he's got like a 10-minute head start on us now.
I really thought, and Buzz is mildly competitive. I think when you're in this business in general, you're competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz is mildly competitive. I am. I'm ridiculously like you are.
Me,
insanely competitive, and. I was really confident that we were going to beat you to the airport. And, well, can I tell the story about getting to the airport? I mean, you jumped
in.
Yeah,
hold on. Before we get to the part where saw you guys on the road and ended up passing you. As we were driving to the airport, we were listening to Oldies 100, right? And this old guy, this feeble guy, Johnny Dark is on.
Johnny Dark, who's been on in Washington, D.C. for a million years.
So all at once, you've got all of us calling. And we were calling. So we're calling Oldies 100 because we all want to get on the air to make a jive request. Rob called first.
With a traffic like an update. Like, hi, Johnny.
Right.
I'm calling Johnny. I'm calling from the field and traffic is bad.
And then Lisa called. And then I called up and I was a lucky one. Now, I didn't get on the air, but I said, hey, Johnny, I just want to say we love your show, and my mom, Phyllis, and of course that's Buzz's mom's name,
right.
I said, my mom, Phyllis, is in the car, and she loves you. I said, say hi, Phyllis, and I thought Lisa was going to say hi, and instead Rob says,
hi, Johnny!
Like you were Phyllis in the car?
Exactly.
So then the next break, we hear it go, WBIG, and he goes, Johnny Dark, 417, Happy Mother's Day, Phyllis, this one's for you.
That's great.
Here's Walk Away, Renee.
That's fantastic.
So we were pleased that we made the call to the radio station, and also, in between the calls to the station, we're constantly calling Buzz and Mike saying, where are you?
Oh, I forgot about the two-way call game.
The problem was, well, that lasted until somehow mysteriously my little slimline phone slipped under Buzz's seat into a position where I could not retrieve it due to the size of me and the size of Buzz's car.
So we're calling Mike and we're calling Buzz and we're saying, where are you? And Mike is really rubbing it into me, saying, because we are in traffic that's just not moving. Mike says, you're about a mile behind us, Mr. Smarty Pants.
And you say to me, very confidently, you say, well, once we get to 95 and it opens up, that we'll take care of that. And I somehow deep in my heart, even though I never saw you pass us, I knew that that was true.
And yeah, we got to 95 North, and it was still bumper to bumper, but then at one point it broke open.
Yeah.
And
you know, I will give credit to Buzz. He tries to be an aggressive driver, but he just can't do it.
I'm politely aggressive.
He's politely aggressive. And the one problem, and the reason you were successfully able to pass us...
It's because I'm a better driver.
Is because, as far as... I've driven with both of you, and got to give credit where credit is due. As far as an aggressive driver, you're up there.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, both of you, you know, he's you know...
You're right.
He knows how to do it.
I agree.
What the problem was, you would have beaten him.
Mm-hmm.
You would have beaten him. Buzz and I do not get a chance to chat very often.
Right.
He's over in his studio. We just, you know, we say goodnight when we're walking out in the evening. We don't get a chance, and occasionally it's catch-up time, and we just do a lot of talking. And in this case, Buzz was probably doing more talking than I was. Buzz was just talking. And here is where the breakdown occurred. Buzz decided he would tell the story of his hiring and the whole litany. And as soon as he dove into that...
When you're playing the oldies in...
No, about how I worked for you guys for a month before I ever got paid.
Living in the Holiday Inn, Ken Stevens not knowing that he wasn't getting a paycheck.
Oh, and that's a great story, Mike.
Let me tell you something. Multitasking, not his forte. When he began to tell that story that he was concentrating on, the driving part of the equation cease.
You know, I'm an entertainer first.
We were going, read 30.
You know, we're going 11 miles an hour, and Buzz is saying, and then we were in the Holiday Inn, and I'm like, please change lanes.
We're on 95, and there was this old lady in a big ass Cadillac like yours, Mike, that was doing about 50 in the left hand lane, and I mean, I'm really inches away from her ass, just saying, move, and the only goal is. I knew we were going to make the flight
right.
To beat you guys.
And here's what I don't understand. I don't understand how you beat us, but I was looking for you.
Well,
especially when Buzz was telling the story about the Holiday Inn, I'm like, oh, he's going to dust us now.
Tell you what, because Buzz was in the far right-hand lane,
right.
The slow person's lane, the old person's lane.
Well, in fairness to Buzz, he had a knack. It was a bad luck issue because I was, you know, we were kind of commiserating on what lane to go into.
Yeah.
We'd go into the left lane, that would be the lane that stopped. We'd go into the right lane, that. But as far as when he started telling the story, just chuck it. We started going 12 miles an hour.
Lisa's the one who said from the back seat, she said, I see it. I see his car.
See, everybody's... See, Lisa's competitive, too.
I said, where is it? She said, 3 o'clock. So I turned and I look, and yeah, about 3 o'clock, there, and we knew it was Buzz because we saw the left... And Buzz is extremely dangerous, just to dangle your arm outside Yeah, well, and it wasn't... It was like going back and forth outside the door...
Can I tell that? Sure. But that's why he was having a smoke.
He had a smoke in the car. I hang it out the car. Yeah.
He smokes a lot.
Oh, shocker. You know, when are you going to try to... who are you hiding that from? Is it
nobody.
Your dad, your mom?
At this point, nobody.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, we pass him up, and there's great joy in our car. And immediately, everybody starts calling Mike.
We would have gotten you if I'd been more competitive. I was really... I could have actually said, okay, Buzz, it's a good story. Get in the middle lane.
So we were all trying to call Mike, and I figured the reason that... I figured you'd seen us, and that you just had turned your telephone off.
Because I'm that good. No, I knew... We thought it was you, and as soon as, like, the fourth ring occurred, I knew, oh, they're ahead of us. And sure enough, we finally get to the airport, and I have Buzz call right before that, as we're coming in, and you guys are already there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, God.
So we get to the airport, and now this is where... the fun begins, because as it turns out, with all this consternation about when should we leave, are we going to miss the plane, we get there about an hour before we got aboard the plane. So we do the thing where we check the bags, and we get the passports, and we exchange money, and we go through the metal detector, and now we got about an hour. And we're in this Iceland Air Lounge.
Yeah, it's a multi-lounge for several different airlines. But
they got
very, very nice. They're really...
Hey, there's Michelle Sportsbra, who's joining us. And you'll hear from her later on the show. It's her account. Iceland Air is her account.
You have a little vino? You have a little...
Oh, my God.
You have a little wine?
Wow.
A little wine here in Iceland.
You know,
she's a party girl.
We'll tell you about the nutty Iceland the time structure. First off, we're 4 hours ahead of you. When we're done with the show tonight, it's going to be it's almost time machine because it's almost going to be tomorrow.
Right.
By the time we get off the air tonight, it's going to be 11 o'clock.
But it'll still
real
be,
time.
It'll still be daylight.
Yeah, that's nutty. So we're in this lounge. I want to get to the best part of this. We're in this lounge and we're drinking. Not heavily. It's the pre-drunk before we get on the airplane.
This would be when I'm about a drink ahead of all of you.
And Lisa has on these big hoop earrings. As a matter of fact, she's wearing them today.
Right.
Mike said to Rob, how much to get...
I gave him the offer right off the bat. I said, I will pay you $40 if you put those on and you keep them on. And Rob says, through takeoff? I said, deal. Done.
Now, when Rob had these on, it would go between looking like Mr. Clean.
Yeah.
He's got that big head.
Right.
Looking like a big faggot. or looking like a cross-dresser, a tranny of some type.
Or maybe even some sort of wrestler.
The thing is, you could... Rob had these giant hoop earrings on, and...
Tasteful.
You could look at him and talk to him.
That was pretty funny, wasn't it, Charlie? I love having Charlie in the room with us.
You could look at him and talk to him and not realize that he had them on, and then when you would focus on the earrings,
right,
that's when you'd lose it.
Absolutely.
Well, I'd turn my head and they tickled because I don't have my ears pierced anymore. No, I don't. Never had my ears pierced, so I had to like clip them above my lobe.
Right.
And I'd turn my head and they just wiggled so wacky it would tickle, and I'd see them like.
Now, we're leaving the lounge because it's time to board the airplane.
I'm hurting. My side is hurting. I'm laughing so hard.
We're all laughing. We're all cracking up.
So funny. It's the funniest thing he's done in a million years.
There is a wheelchair out front of the lounge. Rob says...
No, I said to the lady. Oh. I went into the lady. I said, is anyone using this? Can I borrow this? She said, yes, but... And the ladies liked us. The ladies in the lounge liked all of
really?
Us.
Yeah, we got to give a lots of love and snaps up to the...
Chesapeake Lounge. Is it the Chesapeake Bay Lounge or the...
Chesapeake Lounge.
The Chesapeake Lounge.
At BWI.
The ladies working there could not have been nice. She says, well, somebody's going to need it later, but I'll walk down... She knew exactly what I was doing. She said, I'll walk down there with you.
So here's the setup. You got Rob wearing the earrings, being pushed in the wheelchair... By Mike and by me, and walking with us is a representative from the airline.
Yes.
Look now.
Completely legit. Now,
here's where the boy puts it over the top.
Right.
When we get out into the concourse, Rob starts doing his retard thing.
It was right exactly opposite Hudson News because there was people looking.
Rob decides that he's going to do the infirmary trip.
He's acting like he's got
infirm.
He's got the palsy, and he starts saying,
plane, plane, fly. So we
fly.
We get down to where the plane is already boarding, and there's a line of people, and I get up there and I say, excuse me, we need to get this wheelchair through here.
Meanwhile, Rob's still doing it.
Rob's going, claim.
My favorite one is when I said, ear, and Don said, yes, very pretty.
Very pretty ear.
Rob has giant, you know, for a girl to our right, like Lisa's
right.
wearing, it looked nice on Lisa.
Right.
On Rob, giant queer earrings.
But he's not pinching them on the lobe. He's hooking them over his inner ears.
Yeah.
So they look like if he was pierced, it would be pierced through the cartilage.
He is wearing earrings.
Same.
He is in a wheelchair. And he's doing this thing with his hand.
The hand is like off at this jaunty angle where he's going, plane, plane. We get to the line of people and I say, very seriously, excuse me, we need to get this wheelchair through here. And at that very moment, a woman who had been in the lounge with us says,
yeah.
I know who you are. He was walking beforehand. And I think, all right, joke's over. But the earrings
stay on.
Yeah, and at that moment, it really could not feel any more awkward when you have to get out of a wheelchair wearing earrings after being caught pretending to be retarded.
Yes.
Pain.
You know, and I don't know how he possibly managed to pull that off because we were dying. I mean, all of us.
It was, you know.
I think even Charlie laughed at it. Even Charlie. You laughed. Yeah, Charlie laughed. Rob did it with a straight face. Well, not with a straight face, because you had that crooked face that... And
the
he
beauty
had,
of that act, if he you had, laugh, it's mm-hmm. okay.
He had the hand going halfway up and the fingers all... Plane? Plane? Fly?
But here's the strange part. After he got out of the wheelchair, after that, the people that were around were kind of like, Yeah, they're just a bunch of idiots. Yeah. You know, nobody was really mad. We weren't getting dagger looks. We were just getting people accepting the fact
that
this is the way we are. This is it. You know,
so
it's crazy.
We got on the plane, and Rob continued to wear the earrings to get the $40
through takeoff. And he looked over at me after the plane had taken off, and I'm sitting there. I said, "You have fulfilled it. You have done your mission. You have done." Hey, Magnus. He loves us.
Hey, there's Magnus.
That's our Icelandic buddy here.
Mananus, who's the guy.
Stop that.
Magni.
Martin.
Magnum.
Madison.
Magnus.
Martin.
He's the dude from Iceland there. Let's bring him over for a second just to say hi, and then we can talk about him once he leaves.
Here he is.
He's going to be here for a whole time, so we'll have to talk about him when he's sitting here.
Oh, will we really?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's probably going to be
I thought you weren't going to come like for an hour, dude. Hey, here's Magnus.
Hi, Magnus.
Hi.
Welcome to the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you.
So you are a representative of Iceland Air.
I am.
And we've said what a great flight we had over. We're just starting to get into that.
Aren't we the greatest people you've ever worked with?
Absolutely.
Do you?
Now listen. Oh, good. I need some serious help when I get back with the shrink.
Now, listen, we need the honest answer, and I think our audience can deal with this.
All right.
You spend the last 2.5 days with us.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ugly Americans? If you think so, just say it, dude.
Do I have to?
Yes. Are we ugly Americans?
Nothing but the truth.
Were you embarrassed to be out with us the last two nights?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
That's great.
No, I really enjoyed it. You guys are great.
We are fun. We have a good time.
Your friends hated us, though, right?
No, absolutely not. They loved you.
Well, not according to Mike.
Well, no, that's one guy.
That's later in the show, though.
No. And I have to. I'm going to tell
that's
the story.
That's just the Paul McCartney guy.
I'm going to tell the story of the dinner, and the Paul McCartney guy loved all of us. Mm-hmm. It was just one part of the evening, the end of the evening, and it's a significant commentary on life in general,
and
guys and chicks and everything, and being 43, which I think might be the real reason.
Hey, Magnum, we got a break here, but what would you like to say about Iceland? Being as this is probably the only chance you're going to have to do a free commercial before we get into what we were doing here.
What do I like to say about us? Well, it's my native country, so of course for me it's the best country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I leave it.
Are you still hungover?
A bit, yeah.
Hour 40.
Well, you just better get over that before tonight, okay?
Yeah.
Because once the show's over, Daddy's partying.
And incidentally, I don't want, we get way ahead of ourselves, but I want to say Mike set a new personal best.
Mm-hmm. I have set my out-time record. And I could not be the all-time record for sustained partying. And, are you going to give me the benefit of during the day?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll give you
this. There was no nap or anything. It was really just running up and catching a shower.
I know.
But the partying continued.
But, I'm not even counting. If you actually count the time that you guys went to the
Blue Lagoon,
Magnus,
Mike, I bring a lot of people over here, and I was very, very impressed with your performance.
Thank you very much. Wow. I appreciate that. Thank
He's
you.
A world-class drinker, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he is.
Thank you so much.
I set a personal record myself.
Are you? Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Buzz came along for the ride.
Yeah.
And, the hours, I think if you really count it, when we went to the Blue Lagoon, would have been, what time, about 3:30-ish? Would that be 3:30?
Yeah, about 4, I think.
4 o'clock, let's say 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And then you got back.
If you count getting back to the hotel, I got back to the hotel at 6:30 in the morning.
14 and a half hours.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, listen, we got a break. We have tons of stuff to tell you about. Plus, we have tape to prove some of what we're going to say on today's show.
Right. And then, of course, my theory that everybody's very concerned about.
No, you're concerned because I'm friends with Rob.
No.
You're concerned because Rob and I enjoy each other's company.
Well, if you want to mount that argument, that's fine. But I've got evidence right here.
You have evidence what?
Giggling on the plane, leaving the restaurant together at 11 o'clock. Coming down to lunch together, coming down to dinner together.
Sensible men living sensible lives.
Having a sensible schedule.
Yeah.
A coincidence.
Rob wants to go horseback riding, Dom wants to go to the mall. They decide to go to the mall.
Well, we could have gone the other way. We got a break. Because, Mike, in a give-and-take relationship with someone you love, that's what you do.
Go either way.
Oh, that is so cruel.
You give and you
take. That's cruel. That's a divorce joke.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's how you're interpreting it.
You're
slamming
me for having divorces because
I'm
for Rob.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
No, actually, it's a relationship. It's love that I've never seen before, mm-hmm. Don. You're absolutely right. I've never seen it in my life.
We got a break. We're live in Iceland. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Icelandic cowboy on my Icelandic pony. I travel around in the west. I know all the ways around Snæfells Ness, cause that's where my baby stays. I've been to the east and I've been to the west. I've been to the north and the south and the south. Once I met there an old polar bear, and I found out he had a big mouth. That's why I'm clinging to you, forgotten cowboys, forgotten cowboys of the world. Come to Iceland, because it's on Iceland, and you can shake the shepherd's hand. If you come to Iceland, you can join the local band. Woo!
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
It's more of Don and Mike live from Iceland. They talk about the Blue Lagoon, which Mike loved and Don thought was gross, and are Don and Rob gay? It's the best of Don and Mike.
So here we are. We're live from Iceland via Iceland Air. And here's where we are. We're going to just go through this chronologically to tell you what we've done, because this is what Iceland Air wants. They want us to talk about how great Iceland is, and we'll get to that eventually.
Before you start, I just want to say where we're broadcasting from is on the 8th floor. It's an observatory floor.
At our hotel.
From the Nordica Hotel in Iceland, and I tell you, it is the
way
most,
to go. Now I got to change my name.
It is the most beautiful view I have ever seen in my life. It is gorgeous, and they deserve a mention whether we get calls all night or not.
I'm going to have to change my name. And incidentally, Mike is at his happiest right now. Mike is not just reclining. Mike is laying down on a couch.
Hi there. This is... Now, I don't think, seriously, and if I can be serious for a second, I don't think this is so big a piece of furniture that it would not fit into our studio at home.
Yeah. Okay, Steve Dahl.
Thank you. That's how you get me to sit up again.
I used to know a disc jockey. That guy used to be real mean to me, and he would actually do his whole show laying down on the couch.
Well, I have no intention of doing that.
So we're on the plane. Okay, Rob's taking his earrings off, and as we mentioned, if you come to Iceland, well, you got to take Iceland Air, right? It's like the only airline that flies here, and it's just a kick-ass airline. Really,
really great.
Really big seats, and like they give you a DVD movie, and they give you booze, and they give you the beer. That's what's the percentage of the beer, guys?
It's, well, there's a beer over here called Viking beer that's over 5% alcohol.
That's like malt liquor.
Yeah, it's delicious.
On the plane, I was drinking Ale's Gold. That's only a 5.2, I think.
Yeah. So. Wonderful stuff.
So this is where Mike originally had his problem with Rob and I. The fact, and this was not by our choice. Rob and I were seated together by chance, and you were just in the next aisle over.
Now, let me say, you've made an error. You've said something that is incorrect, and I want to make this very clear. You seem to think that I have a problem. I may have had a problem in the past. I've worked through that. This is not a problem anymore. This is simply...
This is a revelation?
This is an observance, and I've never... I think you would even agree that of all the road trips we've taken, it's never been this passionate.
Chummy? Well, I've never been in a country with as little to do...
Oh,
as,
that's not true!
As this one. Now,
that is not
I'm true. Sorry, Magnum. I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me.
There's plenty to do. It's
sure,
just
there's plenty to do if you like going outside and looking at stuff.
As some people do.
And frankly, the TV channels are rather limited, so I gotta have the boy... We entertain each other.
I understand. I think
by looking at the pseudo German writing,
even on the plane, as you were mentioning the plane. Oh, and God, that laugh! There it is. I heard that laugh on the plane. That unhinged jaw laugh that literally vibrates the 757 that we're on. You know, I'm having trouble breathing in this position.
Why don't you sit down?
Do you notice that I'm talking like
that? Hey, Rob, do you have the message that, like, here's one of the things that we were laughing at when you thought that we're sharing some kind of gay?
I'm not saying you're sharing. sharing what you're sharing. Your joy together is something that I simply observe. You were sitting next to each other. I happened to be sitting in an aisle. The seat next to me was empty. And I casually observed as I'm watching my DVD and I'm enjoying my cocktails. I was watching occasionally, and every time I would look over there, your heads were almost touching because you were leaning in towards one another. Mm-hmm. Giggling like a couple of schoolgirls.
Well, and it's because we're telling the jokes that you don't like.
I know. Politically incorrect.
We're talking about all the stuff that you don't like.
I understand.
But one of the things that... Now, Rob, do you have the thing from the menu?
Yes, I do. I have it written down.
Would you please read it to us? This is something that was on the menu that was handed to us on Iceland Air, and it meant so much to us that it's now going to be our mantra.
Very good.
Rob?
A kind word need not cost much. With half a loaf and an empty cup, I found myself a friend.
There we go.
That night.
So we're on this plane, and we all settle into a nice rhythm.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is that Iceland is in the future. Iceland is 4 hours ahead of us, so the plane is going to arrive in Iceland real time, East Coast time, at 2:30 a.m. However, in Iceland, it's already 6:30 a.m. Does the fart smell that bad?
Yeah, because you know where I am? I'm in the corner on my sofa bed. I'm in the corner in here, and the stink has actually it's settled upon me. Are you all right?
No, that's ill. That's foreign food. That's like all that fish and junk he's been eating.
Yeah,
all right.
They eat a lot of cheese over here. He's never done well with dairy. I know. I used to share an office with him.
All right, well, I interrupted, and I'll try to ignore it.
We get maybe, and I think I did the best, 2 hours of sleep on this flight.
The freakiest thing was my watch was still on D.C. time, and I looked, and it said 1:30, and the sun was coming up outside the plane. And
I actually did well on the airplane. I think it was just the way the service was and everything, the way they did it, and I slept on the plane, which is very, very rare for me.
But it's nutty. When I woke up, I saw Mike was awake already. Because the sun was up. And the sun was up at 1:30 a.m. real time.
I know they have a morning flight, and I know that they have an evening flight. But I will tell you, it is almost worth it to take the evening flight just to watch. You know, you're flying up to the top of the world, and you can see
looking
at one point.
Creation.
No, just looking at the looking down.
I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation.
As I was saying, we're flying across, and you see the moon and you see the sunrise at the same time, and it is just a. I'm gonna smack you, Rob. I'm gonna smack you.
I'm good.
I gotta sit up. I'm getting all congested.
So the plane arrives. And we go through customs, and as it turns out, there are two dudes that are in the kiosks, and there's one guy, the guy on the right, who wants to ask everybody, what, did he just fart again?
No, but I still smell it.
There's one guy, when you're going through customs, who, with everybody, he is very intense, and he says, how long will you be in the country? Where are you staying? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the guy on the other side, if you were in the left-hand side, the lucky side,
right,
he just took your passport, stamped it, and just let you right through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we got through.
It's amazing. He looked at me and he said, he stamped it. He said, not too many drugs, right? I said, nope. went right through.
Hardly. Yeah.
And you know what? At the airport, you're the only guy that got profiled this time again. At BWI,
my stupid mistake because I know now, and we've traveled so much since the whole security thing that I basically have to strip naked before I even go through the thing. I had my cell phone in my pocket, like a moron, and I had change in the other pocket, and then I set the thing off, and who am I kidding? I actually like to get felt up by the security.
We arrive in Iceland, we make it through this rigorous security, we get our bags, we change some money over, went in the store, I got my cigars right away, gotta have your priority, got some nice Cuban cigars, we go outside, and we get in this van, and the driver of the van looks like Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes.
Great guy.
Poor Mike.
Yeah. There was a language barrier there.
This is one where Mike took it for the team.
But I chose it. I chose to sit up front with the driver because when I'm in a new place, I want to get it all, I want to experience it all, and I want to sit up front and see what's going on.
It's a 45-minute ride from the airport to the hotel in Reykjavik, where we're at right now. And we are all just dead-ass tired because now, real time, which I keep referring to DC time, it's 3:30 in the morning. However, over here, It's 7:30, yeah. And it's bright sunshine, and we got like 2 hours of sleep, and we had some drinks on the plane, and everybody in the back of the bus is just in that crabby, tired mood, and poor Mike was sitting next to the driver who wanted to start the travelogue.
He was doing his job. He's doing what I'm sure people probably crave, which is giving the blow-by-blow description, and I thought I wanted to hear it, and then I realized how tired I was, and so it just it degenerated into me going, uh-huh, yep, uh-huh.
And then he tried to teach you how to say some words. And
that's when he liked me, when he was trying to teach me how to say thank you very much, which is talk. That's the first part of it, and then the second part I still can't pronounce. It's like, talk to you.
This is a great show for the rest of us because we were sleepy, groggy, mad. You know that way you get when you're sleep deprived. And we were all watching Mike. Thanks, bud. Cranky. Watching Mike having to go through this with the guy, having to feign that he's interested in what Sergeant Schultz is telling him.
Right.
And he's saying, meanwhile, he's saying, and to the left, we have the mountains. And Mike is having to give that look at, like, yes, I'm paying attention.
Well, he's giving me, before, when you land at the airport, you go through several small towns before you get to the capital of Reykjavik. And he is giving me the town names, and I'm not understanding them. And then I would ask an occasional question, and there'd be a little bit of a, yes, I understand the Reykjavik. Reykjavik, go around. This is the town of the surname for it. It's asking me that. And I'm sitting there going, uh-huh.
So we finally, just strange. We finally got to the hotel, and a nice hotel it is.
Beautiful.
You're going to find that we're going to be talking like that a lot. A nice hotel it is, because the only two movies that they run constantly are Star Wars and Scooby-Doo.
In our hotel.
And I'm... Oh, and the shipping news. Doesn't count, though, the shipping news. And I've been watching Star Wars all the time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, go get them, we will. I mean, it's the whole Yoda thing.
Go get them, we will. Go get them, we will. Have a good time, yes. Iceland, we are in.
We get to the hotel. We get to the hotel at 8 a.m. Iceland time, which is 4 a.m. East Coast time.
And it was obvious it was a Saturday morning because it looked like there had been an evening the night before. You know,
yeah.
There was evidence of a partying culture which excited me.
Now, they originally had a plan for us to go to at 3.
Now, the Blue Lagoon, I'm not going to let you slam the Blue Lagoon. It was beautiful.
You tell me when we get back home if you get ringworm or not.
The Blue Lagoon, I will tell you.
Actually cures it.
Well, this might sound gay, and there's not that there's anything wrong with that, but I will tell you, and I said this to Lisa. Lisa will agree with me. I have never, my skin has never felt better.
Agreed.
Even at 43, I get an occasional blemish. They're gone. Was that a burp? Was that too deep burp?
Yeah.
Was that your burp all the way across the room?
8 feet off mic.
If you want, I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you about the Blue Lagoon. And
I want to hear about it in detail.
It was fantastic.
Here's the schedule they had for us. Plane arrives in Iceland at 6:20 Iceland time. That's 2:20 a.m.
Come to the Blue Lagoon in Iceland. You won't regret it, my friend.
Arrive at hotel 7:30 a.m. That's 2:30 a.m. real time. Then at 1:50, so they got 7:30, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. They give you 6 hours to sleep.
Right.
Before it's time to go to the Blue Lagoon.
6 hours that I used, too, because I went out like a rock, yeah. and I woke up feeling just incredibly perky.
I did. I couldn't sleep. I slept for about 2 hours, and I woke up and ended going next door to the little 24-hour grocery.
Right.
And then down to the dumb workout place. And you guys, when I saw you guys, of course, I hooked up with Rob. We spent a little time together talking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just because he's my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Just talking.
And incidentally,
I'm not saying anything.
Unreachable. Room 901, I've tried to call you like every time, and I don't get an answer.
You don't get an answer in my room?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, there it is now.
So, here's the deal. That we have the choice of going to the Blue Lagoon, which is an earth-warmed, rich lake surrounded by lava. Basically, here's the deal. It's a natural-occurring hot tub. Outside. And based on the fact that we had to go out on Saturday night,
nice.
I didn't know if I wanted to spend and looking at this thing.
Yeah, if you look at the itinerary, you're going to shy away from stuff because the period of time... Well,
They got like 4 hours.
I'm going to explain the whole thing.
To go to the,
and I'm going to explain the whole thing about the Blue Lagoon and why they put that much time down. It's not that it's far away. It's that when you get there, and I mean every one of us, mm-hmm. once you get there and you get in that thing, you don't want to leave. You could stay there. We had Magnus was with us and said, "Hey, we better get going now." We would have stayed in that thing for another 2 hours. Yeah. It was that.
You're rolling your eyes.
I got the
same effect. I got the same effect in my bathtub this morning. I swear to God, a couple.
No, it's different.
In my bathtub.
It's.
And I said, "This is just like being at the Blue Lagoon."
No. The Blue Lagoon.
So Rob,
kicks ass.
Okay, in the next break, we're going to talk about how we spent this time on Saturday afternoon when there was a scheduled trip to the Blue Lagoon.
All of us and the entire crew went to the Blue Lagoon.
Except for Rob.
Two stayed behind.
Hmm. Yeah, and let me point out that when it's time to go to the glaciers, all went except four stayed behind.
Right.
So, you know, tit for tat.
Yeah. That's true.
So, you guys didn't show for the big thing yesterday.
Well, I have an obvious explanation for that.
And I have an explanation, too, that I don't like bathing in water that has thousands of people with, like...
There weren't thousands.
Recycled every 30 minutes.
And recycles you believe every that?
30 Absolutely.
Minutes. Listen, this is the biggest lie that I heard, and Lisa kept saying it over and over. The water recycles every 30 minutes. Yeah, that's what they tell you.
Uh-huh. It does. You have not. Before we leave this wonderful country, I'm bringing you over.
Glad you guys had fun.
Great. It was great. People say when you come over here, if you do one thing, go to the Blue Lagoon. I couldn't agree more. It was fantastic.
I say if you do one thing, stay in your room and watch Scooby Doo and Star Wars. Or you could watch the TV show Harry. Hold on, I wrote down the title of it.
Is Harry in the boat?
Is Harry in the boat?
That sounds good. I didn't see that.
No. It's a teenage TV show.
Channel 1, right?
Yeah, on Channel 1 that has you see girls constantly
like. Exposed?
Yeah.
In the promo, it's like a 15-second promo. 12 seconds of it is just...
Harry appears...
Channel 1?
Yeah, Harry appears to
I'll be right back.
Harry appears to be about 17,
yes.
And the girls appear to be just, as Buzz likes them, barely legal.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all over, just there's Harry on the boat.
Huh. How about the babes in this country, huh?
Oh.
I've seen some good ones.
Yeah, shame that old Magnus couldn't introduce me to any of them.
Well, didn't he introduce you to his girlfriend?
Yeah, she was hot, too. Yeah, it was real nice meeting his girlfriend.
We have to break. We'll get to Rob and I exploring the city, and then you don't want to miss the Saturday night and the Sunday, and we got the tapes of the Sunday and the problems that in. Followed. We do have to break.
I love this country. I could stay here.
Mm. I love the city of Iceland. I want to say that right now. I've never been in a greater city.
The city of Iceland.
I've never been in a greater city than Iceland.
It's a great city.
And hooray to the new king. They have the big election day.
Prime minister.
Wonderful coronation.
Do you know his name, the new king?
Yes, it's Fish.
Is it Fish?
No, it's Kong.
It's vitamin.
It's crab.
That's another one of their private jokes. See them giggling?
Yeah. Look at them go.
God damn, I hate that.
We're going to break. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You never miss a jump split. No matter what. Y'all didn't drop your palms together. Did y'all count wrong? You're still walking on your heels. It almost looks just like you have weak ankles. Pose on count one. That's just lack of thinking. Jump, split, down, and hit.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Even more from Iceland, more Blue Lagoon talk and other stuff. It's the best of Don and Mike.
We're back. We're live from Iceland. Buzz, you just made it back. God knows where you're going during these breaks.
I don't know.
God knows, but
it's tough to find a can of Ensure in this hotel.
there he is. And you've missed all kinds of sounds during this break.
Oh, lucky me.
Sounds from Mike, sounds from Lisa.
Oh, yeah. I don't care what time of day it is. Sometimes you need a little snack.
So the deal is we're in Iceland, which is wacky, nutty, because like it never gets dark here.
Very, very cool.
And even though here it's like after 8 o'clock already at nighttime, and it's still absolutely bright.
Yes.
It's like sunny. It's like early afternoon.
I believe the sun leaves us in Iceland at about midnight, and then comes back up a little before 2. Is that right?
Around 3 this time of year.
I have either been inside trying to sleep or in a bar when that's happened.
Very dark. It never gets very dark. It always sort of hangs around dusk.
And you won't live any longer and you won't ever die.
So here's where we are. We've arrived at the hotel. I'm going to try to keep this on track here.
All right.
Chronologically, we've arrived at the hotel. We've got a couple hours of sleep. Our body clocks are all effed up. And we have the option of going to the Blue Lagoon or not going. I chose not to go, independent of anybody else, just because that's the way I am.
Well, technically independent. But well, I mean, when you...
It was a coincidence that Rob decided not to go, too.
That's right.
No, I'm sorry. I won't go along with that.
Well, you know what?
That's like when we decided we were going to go horseback riding today, and Rob said, I'm really looking forward to that, and then you said, I want to go, did you not say you wanted to go horseback riding?
You said, who would go horseback riding?
Now, if I have to turn the guns on you, it's going to be ugly.
I did, and then I changed my mind.
Now, what you said, you were sitting at the table before Don came downstairs, we were all going to go horseback riding, and then Don said, I want to go to the mall, and you said, I'll go to the mall. Actually, Don, you did have to talk to me to go to the mall.
I think I said...
Wait, Lisa wants to jump in here.
Oh, hold on. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how you doing? What happened was that you said, I'm going to go to the mall with my friend Charlie. And Charlie looked at me and then looked back at you and said, I'm going horseback riding. Right. And then you look at Rob and go, come to the mall with me. And he goes, okay.
Now, hold on. Let me just say on behalf of...
Ooh, that got a... Ooh. I'm done. That's it. I'm not going to say anything more.
Now I'm going to say on behalf of Rob and myself... We are the only guys on this trip who have managed time properly. We are the only guys who realize that you have to adapt to the time zone and that you're nuts. And I think the evidence would be you yesterday morning when you got like 1 hour of sleep.
But you have to understand that I had no intention of going on the glacier trip, and that was
But you wanted to be invited.
Well, I wanted you to call me half an hour prior just in case.
You wanted Rob to call you.
Damn it, that got out. That little factoid
you
got out.
Rob to call you.
Listen, now, Rob would actually tell you that the night before, probably even before we ate, I said, well, I know you're going out, but I know I'm going to have a big night. I had planned for the record-setting evening. I didn't know it would go as late as it did. But I said, just call me just in case there's any chance, because it was late enough in the morning where I said there might be a chance.
Let's wait for that to happen naturally, because that's such a great one. That's a record-setting night.
That is a record-setting night, and that's it. You know, I think that's... I have exhausted all my Don Rob material, and I appreciate you giving me the voice in the forum.
Let me just
say, on this fine stage.
You know, before we move on with the show,
gentlemen.
Rob and I planned our time accordingly. Yes. You know, figuring that you're going to go to bed real time, East Coast time, at about 8 o'clock at night.
And not together.
I keep wanting to close the book on this, and then you'll say something that makes me laugh.
No, you and Rob did
plan your time with each other properly.
No, you hit the sack at about midnight, Iceland time, which is 8 o'clock back at home. Then you wake up at about 8 a.m. Iceland time, which is like 4 a.m.
Right.
East
well, on
Coast
the weekend,
time.
This is a party town, and they have their elections, and you don't go to sleep at 11:30 or 12 o'clock.
We did.
Huh?
I had already voted. There was no need for me to stay up.
But it was like celebratory, and everybody was up, and you know, I was in the majority of human beings here.
We have to get, and I guess we got to get to the mud bath first.
Right.
But then both Rob and I have a great bone to pick, and we'll start with Magnus and with you, about this entire... city comes alive thing, because when Rob and I left that restaurant on Saturday night at what time, 11 o'clock?
11
sharp.
Okay, 11 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Right, an hour before people come out.
Right.
Where's that unwritten rule? It was like walking, Rob said at one point, we're walking down the street, it's like we're at Universal Studios. We're walking down the street.
It looks like a set of a big city.
He could clap his hands.
Do you want an explanation for that?
And you could hear the echo.
That you know what that is? Here in Iceland, people have private parties up until about midnight. Is that correct? And then at midnight, they venture out. I mean, almost like clockwork, midnight is the witching hour. That's when people head out to the clubs and the bars here, and that's why you guys...
Well, right-thinking people know that, you know, if you want to party... Hey, dudes...
They were partying, but they were indoors.
Yeah. Start your party. Or open your bars. Open your businesses.
They're open.
They're open.
Did you see anything open?
It looked abandoned.
No, they were open. Yeah. You could have gone into any bar at, say, 5 o'clock on.
Listen, here's the thing that we found on... Okay, then explain Saturday. Saturday, when you guys were going to the mud baths...
Right.
At the Blue Lagoon.
The Blue Lagoon. I'll give you plenty of time here, I promise.
Very good.
While you were doing that...
It was wonderful.
Rob and I went out to explore this exciting city, the city of Iceland.
Pulsing.
Absolutely.
And
what better way to get a feel for the entire country of Iceland than within a 4-square-block area around the hotel?
Mike, we walked 120 blocks.
Hours we spent out there.
No. We walked.
Hey, that's, you remember that.
Yeah. We walked about an hour.
And I did walk 120 blocks.
Okay.
What? You don't believe me?
I'd pay you $1,000 if you could walk 120 blocks.
120 blocks. The day after 9/11, I walked 120 city blocks. I walked down from, do the math, all right?
Oh, the cruelty. So, listen, we were walking around for about an hour. And we couldn't find anything that was open. We found the video store that sells European DVDs.
I never knew you thought I was lying about that.
I'll tell you the God's honest truth.
Secrets come out. That must be one of the little things you two giggle about.
No, you can ask my wife. That's not a Rob thing. That's the thing with me and Frida.
Right.
That I mentioned to Frida, I don't think you walked 120 blocks, but I think that night that you were upset about 9/11 and that you had stopped and... A little bit.
Oh, I know a lot of it.
And I think that maybe a 30-block walk in your mind turned into 120 blocks.
Well, I went down to the site, which is, and do the math from where we were, which was about 60th Street.
Yeah. Well, I guess it is, 120. You 50,
57th, 58th.
I'd like to see
it. Right. All right. I do 3.5 miles walking on the treadmill without any problem.
How about after the
show? It's walking. It's not running.
How about after the show?
Do a 3.5 mile walk?
I'm busting your balls.
Okay, well, I'm busting.
You've been busting my balls the whole show. Just that I'm friends with Rob.
I know.
So anyway, when we went out, I just want to say this about it. Now, here's why I spend time with Rob. Because
you love him.
No, because the things that Rob and I laugh at
are dark and evil and should be unsaid.
Things that you would not laugh at.
For instance, that right.
We could walk around, and we did walk around for an hour, just looking at signs.
Names
of businesses. Mm-hmm. Now, to the average person, this would not be funny.
You're right.
But we would look and go, Hans Voltedek. I wonder what kind of business this is.
Right. I understand.
Klaus Verdensen sells drums. Look at the drums in Klaus's window.
And we found cars.
Yeah.
And we would stop and look at cars and go, look at this crappy Ford. What do you think this car is like?
And I do know how far you guys did walk. You did almost make it into the downtown area, which is a pretty good haul. And
anyway, we didn't see anything. It was like Wichita, walking around Wichita. Mm-hmm. And while Rob and I were out doing this, you guys went to the Brown Lagoon.
The Blue Lagoon. God!
The Brown Lagoon, based on the famous movie with Brooke Shields.
Am I talking about the Blue Lagoon now?
Yes.
The Blue Lagoon was fantastic. Here was the deal. On the itinerary, which I did not receive, and I didn't even look at it when we have it in the little folder.
But you did receive it at the airport.
I did receive it at the airport. I didn't know there was stuff in there. They said it's supposed to be about a 4-hour trip. Is that right? A 4-hour trip to the Blue Lagoon?
This was another big argument that happened. Mike was mad that he didn't get the itinerary that Lisa had emailed to everybody.
And I was giving Lisa a pretty hard time about that.
And as it turns out, when we arrived at the airport...
I think I've given just about everybody a hard time on the trip. Is it any wonder I've been married twice?
When we got to the airport, Mike was still bitching about the fact that everybody had the itinerary.
True.
Except him.
True. Who didn't get forwarded the email? Let's start a new plan. We'll not send Mike anything.
But when you got to the airport...
Lucky I made it to the airport on time. Lucky I got to work that day.
When you got to the airport, the ladies at Iceland Air gave you that packet that had the very same itinerary in it.
I thought it was just a folder with pictures. That's just me. I didn't know there was an itinerary in it.
Mike doesn't read.
I do read the picture book.
Yes.
So anyway, you guys figure out it's time to go to the Brown Lagoon.
We were, once I found out it was just a half an hour, in fact, my buddy Schultz on the way from the airport had pointed to the thermal springs that were coming out of the ground, and you see the steam coming into the beautiful, clear Iceland air, and it looked like it was much closer than originally. I thought it was like a 2-hour drive originally, and I didn't want to have to deal with that. I don't like to drive long distances to go to places. And I said, well, if it's only a half an hour from Reykjavik.
5 hours in the car yesterday.
And I said, let's go, let's do it. And so we trundle off. It is myself, it's Michelle, Buzz, Charlie, and Lisa, and Magnus from Iceland Air. And we go to this thing. And now listen, if you're going to have somebody help you out with this, it's fantastic. And Magnus couldn't have been nicer as far as getting us all set up with, you know, the robes and towels, because I said...
And you call me gay.
I said originally, is this something you go look at? And I said, no, this is not something you just look at.
You get naked.
No, you don't get naked. You get... Well, you I got naked briefly when I was in the lagoon.
Okay, see, I know. See, you got naked.
Swimsuit. We all get into our swimsuits, and we get ready to go...
Tell them about the sign.
There's a sign in there that says, wash yourself. And it's not just saying, wash yourself, but it's a sign that's got a diagram, and it's got this outline of a naked body, mm-hmm. and then they've got the soap suds under the arm, and
feet and hair.
Right. Like those are the areas you need to scrub. It was a frontal shot.
Okay.
So
goes without saying.
It's implied.
So we get to the Blue Lagoon. We all get into our suits, and we have these big robes that you put on, and then you walk down to this thermal spring that is blue, and I'm not sure why it's blue. Magnus, why is it blue? Can you say why it's blue?
Food coloring.
Because of the silica, it's blue.
The silica?
And it's fantastic.
Toyota silica.
And Buzz was there. Was it not the greatest?
It was beautiful. It was warm, and the mineral bath was great. It was fantastic.
And
you're there with the oogies that have the dead skin that's fallen off.
No,
and the people that
no.
have been
the
in
water
there before
recycles
you.
Every half an hour.
And the proof of that is that you saw a sign.
We saw three pumps, for one thing.
There are three pumps that recirculate the water. They were drilling, because this is all... Iceland is heated, and their energy is derived from these thermal springs, the thermal water, superheated hot water.
It's from lava.
It's from lava. This is a volcanic
lava.
Island, and it was just wonderful.
Do you know, while you guys were there, the whole time you were at this Blue Lagoon thing, Rob and I briefly met for a bite to eat, and then, you know, retired, said, listen, we should probably take a nap
right.
together.
Thank you. Before it's time.
Keep setting yourself up when you talk like
but
that.
But we spent a lot of time...
Spooning.
We spent a lot of time toasting ourselves as to how smart we were.
Oh.
That we didn't go on this trip that, you know, boy, these guys are going to be absolutely just out of their mind tired.
Well, let me share something with you, Mr. Smarty Man.
Yes.
You were wrong, because the Blue Lagoon is... All I want to do is go back there.
Relaxing.
After being there, all I want to do is get back there, because it was that relaxing. And they have this stuff, this silica, this white goo, this mud stuff that you put on your face. And Charlie loved it. Charlie kept the goo on his face for the whole 3 hours that we were there.
Oh, it hardened.
And the whole reason this thing was laid out for 4 hours is because once you hop into the Blue Lagoon, the hot spring, and you feel that wonderful, warm, geothermal mineral water wrapping around your body, you want to stay in the thing for 4 hours. It was fantastic, and it was even better when we met the Eskimos.
So are you happy now, Magnus? Is that a freaking commercial? Are you happy?
But you know me.
That's a commercial.
Wait a minute, but you know me, and you know that if I'm lying, I'm dying, and I will tell you, that was, I sound like Paul Popiel.
I know you do.
The Blue Lagoon,
you really
weren't there.
It on heavy.
Well, because it was the best, one of the best things, next to the drinking and looking at the women,
yeah.
It's the best thing that I did here. We go in there, Charlie goes...
Better than watching Channel 2?
Scooby-Doo Channel, pretty good stuff. But at one point, and this is when I knew that Magnus was comfortable with me, when Magnus made his first fat joke about me, which involved a fat woman. And Magnus comes over to me and goes, hey, Mike, what do you think of the... And he sounds a little bit like Timmy. He says...
Do like your Colin Farrell. That's closest.
He says, why don't you look over there? There's a very nice lady that I think would be perfect for you. And I turn around like all excited, because I started to talk to Magnus about the chicks about 10 minutes after I met him.
Right.
I said, when are we going to meet the chicks? That comes up later in our little story too, and how incredibly let down I felt on this whole trip. But he points and I turn around, so I'm excited and I turn around, and then there is this woman who has the white goo caked on her face. Who is, I would estimate, close to 500 pounds.
Wow.
And she is getting out of the thermal spring.
Nice.
And I say, jokingly, you know, I said, oh, I can get that. And so I swim over to her. I start swimming over to her. And it's only then when I hear her say, I think I lost my hotel room key. But I realized that this wonderful vision of cellulite beauty
is an American.
Is an American. Yeah. And I swam in,
just
the,
like you.
In the other direction. And we're sitting there, and the nice thing about this this thermal spring is you're going along and you feel the hot spots and the cool spots and the hot spots and the cool spots. And it was then that I just felt, and we were all standing in one of the deeper areas of the pool, that I needed to take my shorts off, which I did, and I took my red shorts off.
And you call me gay.
And I held them above my head, and then I realized, because I'm a man of larger carriage, when you're trying to get your shorts back on underwater,
now, did you
there's
have
a lot of material to find where to put the leg hole.
Mike, did you have a bathing suit, or were you wearing just like...
I had a thong. No, I was wearing, yeah. I was
short
wearing,
shorts?
I was wearing a bathing suit that I brought with me.
Okay.
Yeah. A red Target bathing suit. That I,
flowers down the side?
No, actually a solid red.
Oh, because mine is
Massimo.
Flowers.
Is it Massimo? Is that the name of the... Massimo.
So you're calling me gay, but let me just get this straight.
I took my pants off in the Blue Lagoon, yeah.
With other people.
I wanted the
you
water.
You were in a tub with other men, and
yes.
You took your pants off.
Men and women.
But there were men there.
Beautiful women.
But you just described a 500-pound woman.
She was the American. I'm talking about the Icelandic woman.
But there were men in this tub.
And there were Eskimos.
But yes. Yeah. Now, I want to hear about the Eskimos. Because we got a break, but let's do the Eskimos before we break.
Okay. We go into, in the Blue Lagoon, there. It's a huge, wide-open thing, and there's one area of it that is a cave where you can sit, and they have benches surrounding the cave. We moved our way past this little waterfall where you rinse the silica out of your hair and into the cave, and we sat down in the cave, and all of a sudden we are all... in the cave, and there was this one very attractive Icelandic woman who I didn't have the courage to speak to yet, and I haven't been that courageous approaching the Icelandics, the younger Icelandic women, and, well...
Yeah, no problem with the older women, I hear.
Yeah, well, actually, there was a very nice older woman. That's another part of the story.
Oh, let's get to the Eskimos.
So we're in the cave, and suddenly these people that appeared to be Eskimos come into the cave with us, and we're all sitting in a circle... And it was at that point...
Do they have an Eskimese look about
them? Yes, yes, very much so. Very when much. I was in high school, I studied Eskimo. The Netsilik Eskimo tribes, and so they appeared to be Eskimos, and then some people that appeared to be from Iceland, some guys. Well, how many people? There are 20 of us, probably 20, 25 of us in this cave, and I said, we should all get each other's names. Well, Lisa seizes upon this and decides that she's going to be the cruise director. And I forgot what you said exactly.
I said, well, let's all go around the room and say our names and where we're from.
And
I'll start.
And
my name is Lisa. I'm from Virginia in the United States.
The big bathtub, right?
This is in the big bathtub in the cave, this underwater cave.
Rob, I'm so glad we didn't go to this.
And it was fantastic. And as we go in, and these people all started identifying themselves from Greenland. Now, if you know anything about Iceland, Iceland is green, Greenland is icy. Greenland is practically uninhabitable, and these people like fish for seals on a little 2-square-mile area of Greenland, and they've come down because they want to have a little break in the warm geothermal spa that is the Blue Lagoon. Mm-hmm. So we get introduced to all these Greenland people, and I'm cracking up. It's fantastic. And then we get around past the Greenland people, and these four guys are sitting there, and the one guy says, my name is Vudabudipu, and I'm from Fair Island. And Lisa says very loudly, Fair Island, where's that? And they go, hey, but she should know. And then they explain it's an island off the coast of Iceland. And they got to me, and when they got to me, they said, my name is Mike. I'm from Washington, D.C., capital of the United States of America.
Mike O'Mara, proud American.
I was a proud American. Very exciting. But we got back off. We put more of the goo on our face. We all took a little shower in the little geothermal spa.
In the gay men's.
It was so... Well, there were men and women there. There were men and women. It was wonderful. And we could not have enjoyed ourselves more. If you come to Iceland, if you do one thing, this is what was told to me, you got to do this. We had a great time, and then we watched...
we got a break again.
Got back into our robes.
We got a break.
Went back to find where Don and Rob were.
we were here. Glad that we weren't with you.
Well, that's what I
mean, not you personally, but all of you guys.
Yeah.
You know, going to the we referred to it more than one time as think about them right now in that.
Yeah, wrong. No. Wrong. No. It regenerates every half an hour. You'll love it. You've got to try it. You know, maybe if it was just the two of you going out.
If it was just the two of us in the cave,
you'd probably enjoy it. You know, you could mock people.
Tell me more about the digital washing.
We're up on a break. We're live in Iceland, and we will be right back.
This
is the Don and Mike Show.
Great. I'm looking at you. You wore green so you could hide. I don't blame you. You're a tramp. Oh, that was a good one. Oh, that was right where you wanted it. Oh, Mrs. Crane, you're a little monkey woman, you know that? You're a little monkey woman. You're lean, and you're mean, and you're not too far between either, I bet, are you, huh? Would you like to wrap your spikes around my head?
The Don and Mike Show.
It will fascinate you.
I'm not idiots, gentlemen.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The Best of Don and Mike.
Before we get back into The Best of Don and Mike, let's see what's happening tonight on Access Hollywood for Monday, December 27th, 2004.
Tammy Lynn Michaels opens up on her marriage to Melissa Etheridge and the sudden health crisis that struck them. It's next in the Access Hollywood update.
You want great financing and a warranty. What do I look like, Santa Claus?
Consider this. Lincoln & Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles have to pass a rigorous 141-point inspection, and they get 6 years, 75,000-mile limited warranty coverage. And right now, you can get financing as low as 1.9%. Lincoln & Mercury certified pre-owned. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford Credit Limited Term APR financing on select vehicles. Take delivery from dealer stock by 12/31/04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Do you have a really smart dog or cat who wants to live lighter and love longer? Then they deserve an intelligent dry pet food with the best in nutrition, like Science Diet Lite. Low-calorie, low-fat Science Diet Lite works to help build more lean muscle. That's because it has the highest patented level of L-carnitine that helps convert fat into energy. And here's a smart way to save. Shop at PetSmart. Right now at PetSmart, save up to $4 on large bags of Science Diet Lite. Free savings card may be required for discounts. See store for details.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sean Robinson with the Access Hollywood Update, and Tammy Lynn Michaels shares with us the good and the sad.
I don't think I'm treated differently because I'm gay. I think I'm treated differently because of whom I married.
Tammy Lynn Michaels and Melissa Etheridge said, "I do," in September of 2003.
I think if I'd married, you know, just Donna down at the car shop, it might be a little bit harder. But with Melissa came the giant wings of protection. In this world, it's about finding the person that you're willing to commit all of yourself to, regardless of the bumps that you come across.
Their life together took an unexpected turn a few months ago when Etheridge was diagnosed with breast cancer. The 43-year-old is recovering from a lumpectomy, and thankfully doctors have given her an excellent prognosis.
I think I've actually been very fortunate, not only in my coming out experience, but also who I'm with and why I came out and the amount of love that we have.
For all of your Hollywood news, log on accesshollywood.com.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Don and Mike are still in Iceland. It's from May of 2003. It's Mike's late night in Iceland. The Best of Don and Mike.
It's still light outside. We're in Iceland. Unbelievable but true. Beautiful Iceland. Thank you, Iceland Air, for bringing us over here. Now, we're going to go through this weekend and bring you up to present time. We have some tape coming up from the trip yesterday that Mike wasn't on. We'll tell you why in a second here. After these guys went to the Brown place.
The Blue Lagoon.
The Brown Lagoon.
Nothing brown about it.
And
Brown place.
Very blue. Rob and I walked around and, you know, toasted our good fortune of being so smart. We all met back in the lobby.
Cocktail.
Now, Rob and I, according to the itinerary, the schedule.
Cool beans.
The schedule. We were supposed to meet at 7 o'clock for cocktails and then go out to dinner.
Right.
Rob and I were down there wearing our smart casual, as indicated in the itinerary.
Yeah, dressed almost identically.
At 7, we were not. Sport jackets, Mike.
Sport jackets, right, and kilts.
So we're waiting. But he was wearing the Geronimo crest.
That's right.
I was wearing the Spiewak tartan.
We're waiting, and you guys weren't back yet.
Right.
And at this point, we started saying, oh, they are going to be so tired.
And we were indeed.
They are going to be so wiped out. But when you guys came in, you were tired, but everybody was in a good mood.
Yeah, we were. It was fantastic. We were all rejuvenated from the Blue Lagoon.
They went upstairs. They changed their clothes. They come down. We get into another one of these big buses with the gigantic tires on them for the terrain. And we go to a restaurant for dinner. Now, this is where it gets awkward because we've been in Iceland either with each other or with Magnus,
right,
our host. Well, Magnus has brought some of his Iceland friends.
Well, early in the afternoon, Magnus had said to me, he said, I'm assembling a rather good group of people. Now, he didn't elaborate any further than that. He simply said a good group of people, and I suddenly say, hey, rock and roll. Because I'm dropping hints the whole time that...
you want to get laid.
I want to not necessarily get laid as much as make contact with these Icelandic beauties.
Or what you told me on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I want someone to say the words to, before I leave, don't worry, I'll pay for your airfare.
So, we get to this restaurant.
Hasn't happened yet.
And now, listen, there were two people that were crabby at the beginning of the night, and I'll fess up to being one of them. And when we were waiting to go to dinner...
Incidentally, if you want to take a survey of the Blue Lagoon people, I think everybody would give it an enthusiastic thumbs up. It's not just me, you know. Everybody loved it.
Well,
including Charlie, who probably liked it more than anybody else.
Okay, and listen, more power to you.
There you go. Just,
you know, just don't talk to me when you break out in a rash or we get back home.
My skin has never felt better. Or looked better. Everybody.
Now, when we got to the restaurant, the chef came out, and now Magnus introduced us to...
I like the one you came up with. That Magnum is perfect.
He introduced us to his friends. Now, this was awkward. We weren't ready to meet strangers. And the chef, rather than bring us just a plate of food, had this thing that was going to be a tasting dinner.
A tasting menu, which got me very excited.
And got me very pissed. Because, listen, I'm on this stupid diet.
Yeah, now see, and when you mentioned that, I completely understood where you were coming
from,
because you're eating very, very well.
I eat these powdered shakes like every 3 hours, and thank God they got them here in the hotel, the EAS stuff. So I've been good on my diet, and when I'm ready to have dinner...
You want to chow down.
I was ready to have dinner. Well, they bring over... The first thing they brought was a little like spring roll with duck in it, except it was a spring roll that had been cut into quarters.
Nice.
So you had like a quarter of a spring roll. The guy, and it's put on a plate with a bunch of fancy goo.
It was tasty.
Yeah, I said to the guy when he put it on my plate, I'll take about 50 more. And I wasn't kidding.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and it was a tasting menu, and I knew... Because you are, that is your meal. That is the one meal of the day where you're allowing yourself to have fun.
And I got pissed because it was a half hour between them bringing a plate that had a bunch of squiggly ketchup on it and like one bite of food.
Homemade ketchup.
Yeah, homemade ketchup.
It worked well for me because during the time in between each little food morsel would be brought out, they were just pouring some kick-ass wine.
Wonderful wine, really good.
Now, we had a couple of moments, and I'll admit to being in a bad mood because the food wasn't coming.
I thought you were okay until the very end of the evening. I thought you were doing okay. I didn't realize you were dealing with that with the food.
Well, Charlie and I also got real mad at one point at one of those dudes. The guy who looked like the white Damon Wayans.
Yeah, right,
okay,
right.
A mighty wind.
He started saying something about football. And he said, of course, it's nothing like your American football, and you guys really shouldn't even call it football, because what you play isn't really football. And I just looked at Charlie, I was sitting right next to Charlie, and he looked at me, and it was like a race to see who was going to jump over the table and punch this guy in the face first.
The way I recall it, we take our American football very seriously.
Yes, exactly.
And that sort of shut everything down.
So we shut him down. We had, I'm going to compress this so we can get to Mike's night on the town. We had a wonderful discussion with these guys, with these Iceland guys, about the C word. We must have had...
I don't think I've laughed harder than when Rob was wearing the earrings.
We had a one-hour discussion with these guys in between the first two... there weren't entrees. The first two bites of food about the word, about the C word.
Yeah.
And the guy would say, oh, you mean C-U in Tali.
Yeah, and apparently there's a slight variation of it here in Iceland, but it carries the same weight.
Right. Yeah, it's the last letter is different.
Right.
What?
Anyway, he's got an A at the end of it.
Right.
And we were forcing these guys to say the word.
Loud.
We said, go ahead and say it. And it turned ugly with Lisa. I remember one point at Lisa where Lisa said, well, sometimes it's used to describe wives. And I realized, and sometimes it's used to describe future wives. And there was the back and forth. And Lisa, incidentally, this whole trip just wound like a top.
Yeah. And Lisa was pretty bummed on Saturday night, too.
Why?
Yeah, she'd had a lot to drink.
Bombed.
I thought she said bombed. Yeah. But even with the amount of alcohol she had, she was still like on speed.
First time really out of the country. First time really enjoying herself.
Very excited.
Don't you think she's... I mean, somebody's got to balance him out.
She's got all the facts about Iceland that she's throwing out nonstop.
Right.
You know that they didn't legalize beer until 1989? Did you know that there's 248,000 people in this country? You know this is the largest landmass of the world.
Well, she is excited, and she, you know, that's what we need.
There are these two guys... in particular, that I'm going to pick out, Magnum's friends that were sitting with us. This one guy looked like he could have been in the movie Trainspotting. And at one point, I actually said to him,
Otto.
I said, Otto, that was his name. Right. I said, are you effed up? And he looked at me and he said, oh, yeah. I mean, we don't know for sure if it was the booze.
Or something else.
Or if it was something else. I did notice. He sure did get up to go to the bathroom at all.
Yeah, he
lot.
Took a few breaks.
He hit his peak, I think, about the time he brought out the three scallops, when you'd ask him a question and he'd start nodding about 10 seconds before he answered.
Right, right.
He's building up a head of steam. Here I go.
The funniest thing was, he asked Lisa one question, something like, what is this show like? And she started explaining in pretty great detail what everybody does, and this guy just sat there with his mouth hanging open. Just like this, he was so high. Now, the other guy next to us,
Paul,
was the guy who kind of looked like Paul McCartney a little
bit. That would
bit.
Be Adi.
And Adi had on a suit that very much resembled the Beatles, when the Beatles were like on Meet the Beatles, when they were on the Ed Sullivan show.
It was unusual looking, but it would be safe to say he was the best dressed one at the table.
Oh, yeah. He was, and he was a nice enough guy. I think that he turned against me at one point. We were just like going back and forth, and I said, hey, incidentally, Paul McCartney wants to know when he can have his suit back. And all of his friends started laughing and busted his balls and said, oh, we're going to use that one later. And he shot me like a zillion dirty looks.
Good old Adi.
Then there was a Lionel Richie discussion.
Yeah.
Round table about, this is what the dinner conversation
was. It
was
a cultural exchange.
Yeah.
We were going back and forth, the American contingent, the Icelandic contingent. We're getting very loud. At one point, we're all singing together.
Yeah, and they had us toast this booze they have that tastes like rye bread.
It's called Black Death, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah. Tastes like caraway seeds.
And it was about at that point, it was 10:30, we had just had, Robin, I had to show you how pissed I was. I mean, Rob was just long for the ride with the food. We left at 10:30, before dessert. You know, we said, listen, it's 10:30, let's get out of here. So we leave, and now Magnum has told us the whole night that this is going to be the craziest night of the year in Iceland. Bigger than New Year's Eve, because it's election night.
Right.
And that it's going to be crazy, it's going to be drunk city, there's going to be chicks, there's going to be parades. Rob and I leave the restaurant, it's 11 o'clock now, we're walking downtown, right where you guys ended up later. I swear to God, not a soul on the street. It took us 20 minutes to find a cab.
Right.
And Rob really at one point said, I can clap my hands so loud you're going to hear the echo.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there was like no, there was nothing going on. It was almost eerie.
Too early.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, there was something going on. It was going on inside people's private homes. That's why it was.
Well, we didn't know. So we leave, we got back to the hotel, and we left the rest of you guys. So we were back in the hotel by midnight, which I guess is when the party started. Now, this is where Mike set an all-time record.
Yes, sir.
The whole time I've done mine.
Yes, now, sir. Cool beans.
Counting the fact, technically, if you want to count, that Mike started drinking when they went to the Brown Lagoon.
Right.
Blue Lagoon.
But I don't think that counts because you just had a couple of recreational beers.
No, it started really at 8 o'clock. It started at 8 o'clock when we had dinner, and you guys left at 11. We were there. Magnus brought all his friends, all his male friends to the restaurant, and Buzz and I were just sitting there. Buzz was kind of my wingman; he was going to accompany me. Okay. And by the time we got out of the restaurant, it was probably 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's the time when we left. But I realized
you guys were in that same restaurant for 3 hours after Rob and I left.
We were sampling a variety of different liqueurs and Danish alcohol and Finlandia
and
Black Death and wine, and I had vodka tonics, and it was wonderful.
Dozens.
And then suddenly, my fortunes changed when I met a woman in her early 40s who I was, it was explained to me, later on had been proposed to by her boyfriend and declined.
That night.
And he had walked out of the restaurant.
So she had turned him down.
And I had no idea this is the woman I was speaking with. And eventually Lisa and I started speaking with this woman, too. And she was wonderful. She was kind of trying to describe snowmobiles by going, vroom, vroom. The order of bailout was you guys, then Lisa, then Charlie left, and then it was Buzz, myself, our good friend Michelle.
Right.
And Michelle, when did you split? You split after we got to the club, right?
Yeah,
we stayed
3:30
there.
3:30 a.m.
So at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm starting to look at Martin here from Iceland, and I'm saying, man, you know, hey, please, you know, let's go. I mean, it's really, I enjoy meeting and chatting with your helmet club over here, but I would like to go out and experience the world of Iceland. And what I meant, you know, in between the lines, please, can I, you know,
see some chicks,
get to a club to see these Icelandic hotties? And we eventually go to this club, and man, at this point, that's why you guys probably just missed it, because at this point it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. And we're going out, and it is absolute peak prime time. Things are just starting to warm up. There is a line almost around the block outside this one club we're going to.
So what time did you... Well, first, listen.
So we go into the club.
Two great parts of this.
Yes.
It's Mike leaving the club.
Right.
At what time?
You mean when I left the last bar that I was in?
The last bar.
Was 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And when you walked out?
Bright, brilliant, brilliant... Burning,
blazing,
Dracula-killing sunshine.
Wow.
Just, I mean, you know, you'd have in the States, stateside, you'd have the sun beginning to come up. It'd be kind of low in the sky. This is, like, brilliant. I opened the door. It was like, oh, my God. At this time, Buzz had left a little earlier than I had. I was in this cultural establishment chatting with this bartender till about 6 o'clock in the morning.
I know. Is this what... Am I not allowed to say that?
No, you can say where we were.
That you were at
one of the last places we went.
An erotic club.
An erotic club, and it was.
There you go, Tiger.
It was like what we'd have in the States. It was a similar type of club.
Was it a strip club?
Yeah, basically,
gentlemen's club.
And
Christina from Prague.
What, Buzz?
What's that, Buzz?
Including Christina from Prague.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to meet her.
Yes,
really.
She's a Czech.
Oh, Czech, from the Czech Republic.
Yes.
What was she doing, Buzz?
Dancing, and doing a damn fine job of it.
So we had a fantastic time. But at 6 o'clock in the morning, I open the door, and it's so brilliantly sunny out that I almost take a step back, because it's
God,
shocking.
Where do you get the strength, incidentally, and for those of you keeping track, this is, for both Mike and Buzz, after the day in the Brown Lagoon,
Blue Lagoon.
This is from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. These guys have been out
10 hours.
Pounding.
Don't get me wrong. At about 6 o'clock in the morning, I was pretty tired.
Starting to get tired. Yeah.
I was a little tired, but where do I get the strength?
Booze. That's a new personal best, Mike.
People think booze like makes you sleepy. No, it actually it keeps you going. It keeps you, you know, you're getting all. But I was actually, for about the last 2 hours, I was drinking Diet Coke at the last.
Now, what about you, Buzz? When you split up from Mike? And you arrived at the hotel even later than Mike.
That's what I don't understand, and that's the mystery time that we have to ask Buzz about. I don't get that. I haven't been able to figure that out.
I left first, but I only got back to the hotel about a half an hour before Mike did.
Oh, he did explain, and it does make sense. When I left, the bars were starting to open up. They were starting to close, and hundreds, I mean, you know, it's funny because you guys say there's nothing going on. Hundreds of people spill out onto the streets.
At 6 a.m.?
At 6 a.m.
Literally spilling.
There are hundreds of people pouring out onto the streets.
Spewing.
Everybody is festive. Everybody is buzzed. And I'm starting to feel like, you know, we have been kind of pampered. We've been the pampered Americans. We've been surrounded by our good friend Magnus at Icelandic Air with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly, I felt alone.
Hey, what about when that one dude made you feel like the ugly American?
Okay, so Adi, who is the Paul McCartney lookalike.
Right.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, I don't even know where I'm going. I don't know how I'm going to get back.
How many hours had it been since you had seen Adi?
The last I saw Adi was at the club, which would have been
four hours
ago.
Yeah.
But Adi and I, right, just so you know, Adi and I, right after you guys left, and we're hanging at the bar, Adi's giving me the... fist on fist all
he
night long.
He was big on that.
Adi's like coming up behind me, and he's like kneeing me in the back of the knee, so my leg goes down. And Adi's my man. He's my buddy. And we're like hanging out, right? And I spill out onto the street at 6 o'clock in the morning. All these people being very festive. I'm getting that slight look of, you know, you're not from around here.
Yeah.
Which is pretty obvious. Yeah, you know that. And I'm trying to find my way to a cab. So I see this cab stand up the street, and I see what looks like to be a little bench in front of it. And then I see sitting on the bench next to two absolute gorgeous Icelandic babes is Adi. And I start, you know, staggering across the street.
Hi.
And I go at the top of my lungs, I go, Adi, my man, how you doing? And Adi looks at me like I am the last guy he wants to see. I don't know if it's that I'd had a little too much evening. I don't know if it's the ugly American, but suddenly I felt completely like, I am a foreigner, and he doesn't want me around. At this point, Adi is sitting on the bench. The two Icelandic babes.
6 a.m., everybody, that's Sunday right. morning.
The two Icelandic babes get up and walk away. Adi gives me this kind of look that's like,
thanks, Mike.
Oh, you silly American pig. And Adi gets up. The only people talking to me, in fact, the only woman talking to me, is this 70-year-old Iceland woman who's just eaten a hot dog and has mustard on her chin.
Oh, for you.
And she's going, and I'm sitting there going, you know, hey, and then they made a little joke, you know, about me. Oh, American. And the old lady says, oh, I'm not a prostitute. And they all laugh very vigorously. And then Adi kind of slinks away going, I don't know him. And I'm like, Adi, you hump. Where are you going, man? You're abandoning me. Then I head up the street to the cab line, which is, I'll tell you one thing, they don't drink and drive in Iceland. Everybody was in line, because this cab line was 2 miles long to get a cab at the end of the evening.
At 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. Not the end of the evening, the beginning of the morning.
So, right. I'm in the line, and the line is like one of those Disney lines where it goes forwards, right. backwards, forwards, backwards.
Exactly.
And coming down next to me is Adi again. And so he looks over at me, and he gives me this kind of little half smile, and I just looked away.
Oh,
good for you. Okay, wow. Your stinking American friend is going to take his own cab ride, Adi.
Where were you, Buzz?
I waited in the same cab stand line a little before Mike, and eventually got a cab and went back to the hotel after.
Tell the truth, Buzz. The old woman that was talking to me, Buzz took her home.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I didn't want to talk about that.
And that wasn't mustard.
Yeah. But it was, I'll tell you, this is, I mean, if you don't think these people know how to party, 6 o'clock, and I believe there were a great number of people that it looked to me were getting together, making plans to go to the after party that started at 6 o'clclock in the morning.
All of this for the election of King Kong.
And you know what? If I had been invited, I would have
gone. You would have gone.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Now, keep in mind that what's planned for Sunday is a tour of the glaciers, where we're supposed to get in another one of these buses and go up into the mountains
right.
and ride snowmobiles.
I'm not going if Adi's going.
And the last we had heard, Mike said, when Rob and I made our early departure on Saturday night, said, call me in the morning.
Just in case.
You know, and, you know.
30 minutes notice.
And let me know if you want to go, but let's see how I'm feeling.
And like clockwork, my phone rang at 10:30 in the morning, and Rob was greeted with, have a good time.
Have fun.
Have fun on your party. I won't be attending.
And you said you couldn't do the Lucy voice anymore.
Hi there.
Short
hello, Don.
There you go. And also, we got a break.
I will not be coming with you.
Oh, yeah. We had
a good time.
We had a buzz moment, too. And then while these guys were all sleeping it off, the rest of us were stuck with this guy. And we got tape to prove this dude that drove us. This driver that took us up to the mountains yesterday.
You don't have tape to prove where I was.
And, you know, there is the one person who falls in the middle is Michelle Combs-Manty, who slept it off at the glacier, which I thought was very nice.
Yeah, made the man was she hung over yesterday.
And, you know, my favorite exercise is when somebody asks about what our show is like, I kick it over to Michelle. And you want to talk about a task. Michelle, what is our show about and what is it like? And she has this look on her face, what have you done to me?
I think today is the first time she's ever really heard the show.
Yeah, I believe so.
Because she's in the room with us right now while we're doing it.
Yeah, busy out there, busy out selling all the time.
And also another very interesting dynamic that no one's brought up, but I'll bring it up because we have to go to break. Her husband's not here.
Yeah, We were commenting on that, and well, all is not right in the Michelle household.
Sorry. And for those of us who were in the truck yesterday driving in the mountains, The guy nearly drove off the road four or five times because he was staring at Michelle's and at one point, Michelle just said, I should have worn a sports bra. Yeah, I guess so if you're going to be driving over rocks all day.
Right.
We got a break? Yeah, and we will be right back to Mike.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It sounds like I don't like the Jews, which is bugs. I get my head cut on DeKalb Avenue. I ain't never been in a barbershop and heard a bunch of brothers talking about Jews. Black people don't hate Jews. Black people hate white people. We don't got time to dice white people up into little groups. I hate everybody. I don't care if you just got here. Hey, I'm Romanian, you Romanian cracker.
The Don and Mike Show. Mike Korn, enjoy it a second time. Second time, the best of Don and Mike.
All over the neighborhood.
Don and Mike in Iceland, it continues. Who goes to the glacier? We know Mike stayed back in the hotel after a late night. Who else stays back? It's the best of Don and Mike.
Back in Iceland. Live in Iceland, thanks to Iceland Air. Just recapping everything that we've done. Thus far, we figured this would be more interesting than sitting down in the lobby and talking to the people of Iceland.
Unfortunately, it would be lovely to speak with the native Icelanders, but we have so much to tell you about.
Yeah.
Because so much has gone on this trip, more than any other trip we've ever taken.
In the last 2 days. So when we left you, Mike and Buzz had been out all night.
Yes, I staggered back into my hotel at approximately 6:30 a.m. Iceland time. Oh, what a morning.
Now, we're going to leave to go to the glacier at 11. And again, I don't want to do it, but I'm afraid that I'm going to get the rap that I went to Iceland and all I did was stay in my hotel room and go to the shopping mall.
Exactly.
So I say, okay, I'm going to go on this glacier trip.
Right.
Now, on the itinerary, it says leave at 11 a.m., arrive back at 6 p.m. Well, I'm not a smart guy, but I do the math. That's 7 hours.
Right.
And I think there's no way I'm spending 7 hours doing anything. So I say to the dude right away, and we find out that Mike's not going to make it. We call upstairs. Charlie and Lisa have had too much night.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to make it.
Right.
And Rob called Buzz, right?
Right, I called Buzz.
Departure time.
And what was fantastic is I assumed he'd be up because he was really up for this trip.
Yeah.
So I, you know, half-heartedly joking, said, Mr. Elston, and I don't know what you did the night before, but you said, yes?
Terrified.
Yeah,
terrified.
Like
I was terrified.
You know, who knew that Buzz was going to come in later than Mike?
Unbelievable.
I thought it was the police.
Yeah, I thought it sounded like he was going to have to produce papers. I said, Buzz, it's Rob.
Rolling papers.
I didn't mean to alarm you. Are you going on the glacier trip? He said, what time is it? And I said, it's a little after 11. He said, no, no.
So we're waiting a couple more minutes. We end up leaving at 11, and the driver, Jan. Is that his name?
Yeah, I wrote his...
John or Jan?
I wrote his full name down here somewhere. It was a great name.
Anyway, he's mad because we've not left yet.
Jan Porborn Jornsen.
Okay, so Jan is mad that we haven't left yet.
Uh-huh.
15 minutes after 11, we're leaving, and as we're walking out, lady says... She stops me on the way out. She says, do you know a man named Buzz? That's the lady who works at the hotel. I said, sure. She said, he's on the telephone. I said, Rob, didn't you call Buzz?
I thought I did.
And so I go back, I go to the front desk, and I pick up, hello? He goes, hi. Hi, Buzz. He says, are you going now? I said, yeah, we're going on this 7-hour glacier trip that I'm going to get cut in half. What time is it?
I'm panicking.
Again,
I'm
what time is it?
And are you showered and dressed at this point?
No way. I still have last night on me, and I'm panicked because I really wanted to go.
He said, what time is it? You know, knowing that Rob has called him already like a half hour ago, it's 11:15. Can you wait? I said, no, the driver's already pissed. We got to go. So we get in the car, and this guy, now he turned out to be a pretty nice guy.
I really liked him, yeah.
But at first, he was very upset with the notion that I didn't want to spend 7 hours going to the glaciers, and it was just too much. I said, we have to compromise. We have to be back by 4 o'clock.
Right.
That way we're only gone for 5 hours.
Because you had a meeting.
And, yeah, well, that's what I told him. And
a meeting with your pillow.
And at first he said, oh, no, that won't do. He said, you have to go on the snow machines.
Scooters.
The snow scooters. You have to go on the snow scooters. No, we'll be back at 4:30. 5 o'clock. I said, no, we got to be back at 4 o'clock. Okay, you're going to miss the snow scooters. But that's all right. You know, we're cool with that.
Right.
And at the beginning, I had a bad attitude because I don't like going on these touristy things.
Right.
And I know that you think I got this big homo friendship thing with Rob.
Right.
I turned to Rob, who was sitting behind me, and I said, I hope you realize the only reason I'm on this trip is because you're here.
There you go.
It's at this time I'm thinking, I hope Carrie saves the classifieds from Sunday, because if this goes badly, this is going to be very bad.
But as it turns out, we did see a lot of great scenery, even stuff that a dork like me likes. And we have tape. Rob had his videotape. And you're going to get to hear a little bit about Jan, our driver.
Jan.
And then I asked him if he gets laid a lot. We asked him which country has better sex. And then we asked him about gays. And that's when the guy really went into went into overdrive. So we're going to work on the quality on this. Robbie, why don't you roll it now?
Start of the intro.
And this is us when we are in the van getting ready to go on this.
Daddy, I'll break your arm.
Hi. Hi there. How are you? We're here in the town of Iceland.
Now, you're not going to be able to hear Rob and I really well because the condenser mic is pointed at the driver.
Right.
And it was an outstanding competition. Vitamin wine.
We're doing our whole vitamin thing. The vitamin and Kong.
King.
You know, Kingfish.
Very, very good. And I like to say hi to Buzz. Hi, Buzz. This was me when you
said. Oh, let's get past this. This is where we're saying hi to the people who weren't there. Go to 650.
650?
Because you're going to find out a little bit about Jan, our driver.
Very good.
And this is where the microphone, I believe. Now, Rob, you've heard this, right?
It sounds a little better than that, yeah.
You can hear just Jan.
Now, it gets different when you're out of the van, too, right?
Yeah.
Most of the stuff you're going to like is in the van, though. Because that's when he was the most open.
And this is where our engineer, Mike Friedman, was working the tape recorder. And we asked Jan's permission. He thought he was giving us, like, a travelogue, but
right.
we really wanted stuff we could goof on him.
Okay.
All right, so here he is. A little bit about our driver, Jan.
So tell us a little about you.
Jan, the same I was just telling Michelle. I'm actually educated as an automotive engineer in Germany.
That's terrific. I love Germany.
We love Germany.
Okay.
We love Germany.
We hold no grudges.
Oh. You don't think so much on the freedom fries? You would call it still something like French fries?
No, we hate the French.
Yes, we do hate the French. That's a grudge we hold.
We hate the French, but we've forgiven the Germans.
Why?
We hate the French, but we forgive the Germans.
And then there was the whole issue with the U.S.
See, now Rob and I are getting the whole thing about, you know,
right.
why we hate the French.
But at least I started the...
By the way, they really didn't fight against Hitler. They kind of just said, go ahead, take over our country.
Okay.
I mean, if you have other history...
Yeah, hey, pause it for a second, and let me just explain this. I'm saying to the guy, for some reason I'm saying to him, it's history that the French kind of just said, come on and take over our country.
Yeah, why did it take the Germans 3 days to get to Paris? Because it was raining.
And he said, well, no, he's saying, and he's German. Originally he's German. He's saying, no, the Paris resistance, the underground, put up a good fight. And I said to the guy, oh, I know of someone who was in that resistance. His name was Corporal LeBeau. And I don't know if the tape picks this up. He says, LeBeau? And I said, yes, it's in the history books.
He thought you were perhaps saying De Gaulle. And he
right.
said, no, I do believe the name was LeBeau.
So anyway, this will give you a taste of this guy who originally started being very boring with his
right.
travelogues
right.
and what we're forced to listen to. Go ahead, roll a little more of this. We'll get to the good part.
Well, you know, there was a guy named LeBeau.
How?
De Gaulle?
No, LeBeau was his name. He did an awful lot in the underground, you're right.
But I never got a suntan. But moved forward for 30 years, and I was around 1980 in Germany to 85, 86, studying automotive techniques, engineering, learning to construct automobiles by BMW, among other.
How are you feeling about this, Magnus? This is good. this is a good representation of your country? You can pick up that microphone, Magnum.
I think I'm laughing more than you are.
His bare skin has turned red.
For the investigation of cars is in this annual inspection. And so I need to...
No, at this point, I'm ready to kill the guy. Because you can hear this. It's just the...
And we,
I really thought it was going badly at this point.
Since we established this company, Isafold Travel, Isafold, you would say, but we Isafold, and that means Iceland actually falls like field.
Shut up.
Isa, that means field.
Oh, celebrity he most resembles? No, as Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
Wow.
He did look like Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
I saw him.
Do you like it?
What?
Right. But do you like it? A lot. There are two things, actually, that are essential for me, that are very, very important here by this trade. This is the everlasting change and variety you get through always transforming.
Now I'm wanting to just say, shut up.
That's the
Rob,
tour.
Let's go to Do You Get Laid a Lot, because this is where he starts to turn.
Okay.
And this is 942. And this is where I start to like this dude. Because now he's going to talk about getting laid. He's going to find out that Michelle has... Oh, hi, Michelle.
You get laid a lot in this job? Do you get sex? Do you ever...
I would turn it otherwise around. Do I lay many then in this job?
Yeah.
Right. You see.
Yeah,
well,
good.
I see. But this is not the... Actually, that's not the goal of my job.
That's not what Michelle says.
This is... I'm, like some people say, happily married and don't mean anything by it. But I really have a very, very nice and nice looking and wonderful wife. She is actually enough for me.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I don't mean...
So he likes his wife.
And, I hope I don't lose business because of that.
You know, Michelle would have sex with you if you would break the speed limit.
Speed turns her on. You think that's something what she goes for? I mean, the speed limit.
I had been talking to him earlier saying, what's the speed limit? He said, like, it's 70 kilometers.
Right.
Will you break the speed limit? He said, oh, no. You know, no one breaks the speed limit.
I was, before I went to Germany, I was in the cargo fleet sailing to America.
Here we go.
And to the East Coast, bringing frozen fish over there, and Cheerios and Cheerios.
Cheerios.
Cheerios and cornflakes.
Cereal here, all the breakfast cereal is imported.
Imported all. A lot of it from America.
Right.
And I tell you, Don, then I had my share of women, I believe, or girls.
Now I'm interested.
You think?
That's still a secret.
Over 100
to myself.
He won't tell me how many.
No.
Over 50?
I don't go many. Don't go much further down. And then I start to think it over.
Nothing that a broad won't do for cornflakes. I know you're happily married, so am I for 22 years, but I would answer this question if I had had sex with a woman of Iceland origin. What woman is best to have sex with, an American or a woman from Iceland?
Because that comes on, or that it's just a matter of how you see it, how you feel it. It's not the
and now while he's giving me this answer, he's gazing over at Michelle's. Because his answer is basically, it all really depends on what you want and what you want to do.
Yeah. USA.
At that time, I don't know.
Rob, we have time for the break. Let's go to the gay stuff.
Okay, what's your number?
2004.
Okay.
Hey, Charlie, I got time for this, right? Okay. This is before you... We got so much that we're not going to get to it all.
Right.
I'm just going to give you the highlights.
You on the cliff, do we get?
Yeah, you're going to get that in the next break.
All right, good.
On the cliff. Like a Mission Impossible scene.
Death-defying. Wow. Toes over the cliff.
This. So by now on this trip, and we've been in this car with this guy in this four-wheel drive for almost 2 hours.
Right.
And he's won me over because we have discussed. Now, I'm not going to. Rob went to the time of writing down all this. You look like TV's Chuck Norris. Do you get laid a lot? The story about Cheerios. he talks about how he wouldn't have sex with Hillary Clinton. He talks about how the Iceland people get effed on their taxes. He mentions that his daughter wants to be a flight attendant, and I tell him that my son is studying to be mail steward. And that leads to, this is the highlight, lots of homos over here and his gay experience in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Gloucester, wow. Mm.
Do you have a lot of homos over here? Yeah, yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
That's terrific.
So, you know. Well, I guess they are lost that. And they've been coming out of the cupboard, like you say.
Coming out of the cupboard.
Coming out of the cupboard.
That's all the good. Is that good for business?
No. This doesn't affect me.
Coming out of the cupboard is my favorite.
The awesome groups, all my groups coming up here, probably lesbians. Traveling together. But I haven't said any.
Homo groups.
Would you drive a bunch of gay men?
Oh, yeah. No problem. I had my experience in Gloucester, Massachusetts. That was tough. And since I got out of that, then I don't fear anything. There was a lawyer. I met him at the bar.
Here he goes.
He invited me home, and I was pretty young and not thinking of those things. And he invited me home, telling that he was living in a 300-year-old, very nice house that he was also out of New England. But invited me for a drink, and as a sailor, I was always going for a glass of whiskey, more than less. So we got home to him, and then he started to try to kiss me. I just started to ask him about why don't you go with girls rather?
Yeah.
I said I asked him just because I knew I had to, we could say, defend myself, but not without, you know, getting scared and
right.
And then we got into a heavy discussion on it all, and then
he
said, well, they are smelling so bad.
Women smell bad.
There you go.
I never forget that. Then I found out and I learned in the night that his fiance was sleeping, that he was going with a policeman in town, when I left the house, I just left quietly. And I got out without any problems.
There you go.
That was my experience. So, John, I don't think I would be somehow scared transporting a load full of homos.
Very nice.
I keep my course straight.
I keep my course straight,
yeah. And now all of this, we can stop it for a second, all of this while we're driving past the most fabulous scenery in the world.
Yeah.
And once he got going with this gay thing, sex and homos, it's like he totally turned off the travelogue.
Right.
And in between staring at Michelle and looking in the back seat at me and Rob, we're really having a decent time with this guy.
He seemed like a great guy. He really did.
Cool. He was. And he started off being a... because he was mad about, you know, not going on the snow scooters.
Right, right.
We have to break, but when we come back, we've got some stuff where we gotta buy these cliffs.
I have a question for that when you're going to have that in your next segment. One of the things that everybody was telling me on this trip was the silence. Are you going to get a sense of that when you roll tape?
You know what? I was disappointed because there was a slight breeze and, you know, a condenser mic.
It picks it up, but it's supposed to be just eerily silent out
there. Eerily silent on the glacier. You have to really experience it to understand.
And Freedom won't see this until I get home with the videotape.
Right.
But there was, you'll hear it when we're on these cliffs. They have a railing that you're supposed to stay behind. And we got a break. Anyway, it was like Mission Impossible.
There you go.
Jumped out on the ledge.
Wow.
And then we got him to sing a couple songs for us.
Yeah, I was here for that.
Because he's the Iceland James Taylor, as he told us. Hey, Magnus, how you feel about this dude? Is he good?
I think he's very good, yeah. The accent just kills me. I know that I have an Icelandic accent, but man alive, Icelandic, mixture of Icelandic, German, English, whatever else is there. Amazing.
More live from Iceland right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Can I get you something?
Some more folk butter laying into the bone. Take me up. Take me.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Cuddy say can't hang.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive. Oh, good. He said that he's in great pain and he wants to know if you can help him. All right, would you tell him to just relax and I'll be back as soon as I can with some medicine. Just hang loose, blood. She's going to catch up on the rebound on the med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
Come with some slack, Jack. Chomper wanna help Chomper get the help.
They can't hang, say seven up.
Jive ass dude don't got no brains in him.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
This is Donna Robb at the Glacier. They bond with their driver and have a big time. It's the best of Donna Mike.
It's nutty. It's a nutty country.
It is. It's a wacky country.
City. This city of Iceland is great.
City. Iceland City.
That, it's, you know, it's nighttime and it's light outside. It's blazing sunlight outside.
Bright, searing
Listen, I want to get to the rest of this tape with this guy. I know we have, you know, we actually, have you noticed that we've actually started bringing Buzz on the trips with us?
Mm-hmm.
That we actually have news and comedy?
Yeah, thank
Buzz,
you.
There he is right there.
Rob Buzz Burbank right over here.
I didn't see you at the Glacier.
I'm here. I came along.
Nice to see you.
You missed him at the Glacier.
I'm
Mike.
Sorry.
Mike's here too.
The thing is, we got our balls busted, Rob and I did, so much for not going.
Blue Lagoon.
And then you guys yesterday, all, I say Lisa, Charlie, Mike, Rob, you all bailed.
Just couldn't make it on time.
For this Glacier thing. And I was not really wanting to go myself because, you know. I went because I know, no, not because of Rob. Well, yeah, okay, but also because I didn't want the rap of being the only guy, and I knew you guys would be.
That didn't do anything?
Yeah, merciless on me.
Well, you went to dinner. I'm proud of you.
You'd be the only guy that went to Iceland and didn't go see the big country,
Very proud.
To me, incidentally, Magnus is not here. Listen, Iceland's a beautiful place, and I highly recommend it, but.
So look like Pennsylvania?
Go to West Virginia.
Oh, no.
That's what I'd say. West Virginia, maybe if you've ever been out to Utah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot stress enough that we are sitting here with the view
incredible.
Of the most incredible mountains, overlooking
Mike?
The sea,
the
overlooking a beautiful town. It is nothing.
Mike.
Ah, the sea.
Yes.
Well, the houses look like Ocean City, or if you go down to South Beach, they have that Caribbean look about them.
Beautiful country,
multicolored roofs, and
unbelievable construction, Scandinavian architecture.
Mike, color me guilty for being patriotic for saying anything you can find in any of these great cities like Iceland or Ireland, any of those cities that we've been to,
City of Ireland,
you can find the same. In the good old USA. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't come to the city of Ireland. I've loved that. I've had a really phenomenal time.
Or Iceland.
Yeah, the city of
I'm
Ireland?
Trying to combine everything, and I'm wondering if you can sit in a cafe enjoying like fine international cuisine, overlooking the Atlantic Ocean.
No.
In 70-degree weather as you look at a glacier.
Yeah, snow-covered mountains.
I'm not sure. Snow-covered mountains are different. I'm talking about a glacier.
To answer that, the first part is no, that I'm going to be eating at an American restaurant today because I want real-sized portions and I'm tired of fish. I don't care that this is the fish capital of the goddamn world. I want to get a steak today.
You know, as soon as Magnus left, you've turned into an ugly American. You know that, don't
you? Well, hey, listen, hello. I am the ugly American.
But you like it here, don't you?
Yeah. I like it. Sure, I like it.
I think it's great. It's a great country.
Of course I like it. I'm just saying.
It's a great city.
It's a beautiful city, Iceland.
Beautiful town.
It's real nice. And the people, with the exception of the people that were rude to Mike, are very, very nice.
Adi.
With the exception of Adi. They're all very, very nice people.
OH.
But
Be my friend some of the time. Don't be my friend all of the time.
I see through your mysterious plot, Adi.
I'm looking out the window, and you could say, you know, you could clunk me on the head and say, "Hey, good morning. We flew you to Salt Lake City last night. And you didn't know it." I go, "Oh, I love Utah. It's beautiful, dude." So we're out at these glacier falls, the lava falls yesterday, and this is where even I had to let down my guard a little bit. Mm-hmm. That it was, but although even though the comparison I came up with, they said it's like being at Busch Gardens, except it's real. Because
the water was a surreal color. It looked like chlorinated water. It was so clear and so blue.
And we were standing by these incredible waterfalls, and it looked like the kind that you would ride a water raft ride in at Wild World or something like that. And they had an area where you could go walk by and overlook these incredible falls. It was like an 80-foot drop down to the falls, and you could see the water. It was 6 feet deep with big rocks, and they had a ledge that you could stand out on, a little porch. And directly to the left of that ledge was an actual little edge where you, if you wanted to.
A dangerous cliff?
Yeah, if you're dumb like me, you could actually walk out by the dangerous cliff and actually,
like, walk beyond the fence where the tourists are supposed to stay. That's when people die.
Yeah, well, and
the security there is very different. This would never work in the States because to keep you away from the cliff, there's rope. Simply rope.
I agree, Lisa. Were they brown waterfalls?
No.
You were saying the water was so blue.
It was very blue.
I hear it was brown.
Because water that people have been bathing in and allegedly recycled every 30 minutes. This was really God's water. Okay, this is water that came straight from.
I didn't know that.
God, so it was beautiful. Water. I go with the Blue Lagoon in the day of the week.
Yeah.
Well, you would have liked this yesterday.
I probably would have liked
it. You would have liked it more than me, I guarantee it.
You had to physically go over the fence to get to the area you went
around the fence. Listen, it was perfect. Any of you kids, I got the great spin for coming to the city of Iceland. If you want to be on the TV show Jackass, come to Iceland.
Oh, dear.
Because you can stand on cliffs, dude, and you can jump. You know, good luck hitting the water.
Right.
But if you make it to the water, I guarantee you.
So if you don't die, you actually could be on the TV show.
Right. Cool. And there were these trees and these branches that were coming out from the side of the mountain. And
just like a roadrunner.
What I wanted to do was actually climb out on the side of the mountain and hold on to one of these branches. And Rob talked me out of it.
He was seriously thinking about it, though.
I said, wouldn't this be a great shot for video? And Rob said,
now, what if you had decided to do that and the branch had pulled out?
Well, that's why I have Rob with me.
Would you be dead?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, wet and gone.
We were 80 feet above.
You're gone.
80 feet above the water. Yeah. And I said, if I held onto that branch, that'd be a great shot. And he said, if you did that and that branch fell, you'd die.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So then what I ended up doing was going to a slightly safer area.
Right.
Where I'm still standing with my heels facing, I'm backed up to the edge of the cliff, and I'm holding on to rocks on either side.
When we play that video, when we play that audio tape, can I look at the video while you're doing that?
Come on over.
Come on over here, Mike, and let's show the tape now. And I believe I had a message for Frida, right?
Yeah.
Look, Frida, I'm being safe, and Frida will see this tape when we get home, where I'm standing on the edge of a cliff with nothing holding on to me, and
oh my God.
And the rocks around me are starting to give away, and I actually take one of them and throw them 80 feet down in the water.
You know, those crumble and break off sometimes.
Oh, well, I know.
You're lucky to be alive.
They did.
Here we go.
It was a great moment. Now, can I see the tape too, Robbie? Can
we'll have to run it. You have to.
Careful, danger boy! What are you doing?
Oh God!
Oh my God! Thank you, Chris. Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
Yes.
There I am.
You gotta get rid of Gandhi. I will. I promise. I'm being very, very.
What was that?
It was a rock. That was part of the rock I'm holding on to.
Oh my God.
Did you get a picture of it, Mike?
See that? See how close I am?
Fantastic.
My God. If you landed in that water, you'd be dead.
Oh, it'd tear you apart, and there's jagged rocks just under the water. The water is only about 6 feet
deep.
There's
Jan.
Yeah. For Bjorn Sørensen.
It's a glacial.
A lot of minerals in it.
Yep. I think there's some more Danger Boy in just a second. Hold on.
Oh, it's Jan Bjorn Gunnarsson.
Is this what you taped when I was not aware you were taping?
Yeah, and you were just sort of scooting down. You can see the ridges.
Right.
I want to say that for a.
Oh, there he is.
Close to the edge.
Rob, why are your pants around your ankles?
Stop it.
The water will just wear away.
Now I can't see this. What are you guys
now
looking
Donna's
at?
Donna's just sitting there. This is just you pensively contemplating the, looks like you're enjoying the view.
I am.
And you're going around the fence. You can see it there.
You can see Donna.
Prowling around.
There he goes, like, in direct violation of where he should be. There he is, like, 10 feet inside the fence line.
Look at him, closer.
Walking up to the edge.
Closer.
This is more dangerous. But Jesus, this would have driven me nuts if I was there.
And I didn't know Rob. I did not know Rob was taping this.
Now he sat on the edge. Now there's a great shot of the falls. It really looks like it's rushing down.
And I am
is
really
the angle really dramatic?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's a steep, steep angle, and I'm sitting on the edge of a rock. Think of Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible when he's hanging on the edge of that rock.
And as blue can be.
And also, you've already proven to us that these rocks crumble. They're not like granite. They're lava.
Had you no fear?
And
it was great. It was very serene.
It's Death Wish Boy.
Wow. Anyway, I found it to be very serene.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Sure.
But I scooted down to this area where I was by myself, and then when Rob started yelling at me, what are you doing? I said, I finally found a place that I like. Sitting right on the very edge of this cliff, wow, looking at the water.
And we ended there with a very nice moment, and it doesn't pick up because of the sound of the rushing water, is we yelled across the falls to some tourists, oh, hello! And they waved, and Don screamed, wave at us if you're gay.
So we get back. Let's go to 1213.
1213? Okay.
Because part of the thing with this guy, Jan, our driver, uh-huh, was that he said if we had had time for the entire tour, if we had gone on the snow, what do you call them?
Scooters.
Snow scooters.
The snow scooters.
That when we stopped to have the egg sandwiches that he brought for lunch.
Mm. How were they? You've made reference to those a couple of times.
Let me just say,
eggy.
I didn't eat it. I didn't eat. I had an apple.
They were good.
You liked it?
There was like a honey mustard and sliced egg and lettuce.
So what his plan was, he had a big guitar case. He was telling us the whole way up that he is the Iceland version of James Taylor.
Hmm. Has he recorded?
No.
He said,
sadly.
He said, what I will do is we will have our sandwiches, and you will have your lunch and your beverages, and then I will sing for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I am like the James Taylor of Iceland.
Well, I managed when you guys got back to the hotel, I was staggering off the elevator and happened to, at that very moment, bump into Rob and who else was there?
Don't you even
Michelle,
remember Michelle and Mike.
And Mike and this guy Jan and Rob, and you know, even in you know the fact that I hadn't been with him all day, Rob said, he's going to sing for us up in the lounge. And I went, oh,
hey, Michelle,
great.
Before we hear it, come over here for a second. Because now, Michelle was out with you guys the night before.
Right. She was in a bad way. We didn't even talk about...
She wins the award for posting in the worst condition.
You have to know that when he drove us in these glaciers, that we drove... So you want to talk about off-road.
Right.
I told Rob that my SUV would have fallen apart. Any American SUV would have fallen apart where we were driving rocks.
We didn't comment on the SUVs here, and we should because it's something significant. You see the way the SUVs are tricked out here.
Yeah.
They have tires.
Gigantic tires.
That I've never seen in the States. I'd love to get me
massive.
Some of them.
We had, it was a regular Ford Econoline van, like a 10-passenger van. Three times when we were in the glacier, he hit a bump big enough that I hit my head on the ceiling.
Wow.
And keep in mind, that's a lot of pressure to throw that much weight that high.
There was no road. Uh-huh. We were driving on rocks, and at one point, we got into this area by the glaciers, and the big sign that said, impassable. Even we could read that.
Right, right.
And he just went around it. And he said, I heard yesterday that it was okay.
How did they not blow the tires out on that?
He constantly adjusted the air pressure.
Let some air out.
He was constantly letting air out.
Mm-hmm.
So Michelle was hungover out of her mind. Michelle, how did you not... You got to pick it up. Thank you. How did you not throw up yesterday when Jan was driving over those rocks?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's Michelle, everyone.
And what about the sexual tension between you and Jan?
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't notice this.
Right.
Yeah, you didn't notice. You didn't notice that he almost drove off the road when we were by the by the glacier.
No,
was
I
it because he was staring at you.
I didn't notice that until you told me at dinner.
There is a much smoother road, but we have decided to take this one for the bouncing bounties.
And how many? Hey, Michelle, really? How many times after that joke about if you go over the speed limit, Michelle have sex with you? How many times did he say, I'm going to go speeding now?
About five.
We got 1 minute. Let's roll the Icelandic cowboy.
Oh,
here he is singing.
His hit single, I believe.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Ride him, ride him, ride him.
Yeah. Here he is, Jan, our driver.
James and Taylor. Now the music of Jan.
Jan, everybody.
Okay, I'll play a couple of...
We only got time for one song.
One with an English text. It's the Icelandic cowboy.
Here we go.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy on my Icelandic pony. I travel around in the west.
Yeah. James Taylor.
I know all the ways around my false name.
You got a picture of me. He looks like Chuck Norris.
My baby stays.
Wow.
I've been to the east and I've been to the west. I've been to the north and the south.
People say to me, Don, what did you like best about the city of Iceland?
Once I met there an old polar bear.
You're hearing it.
I found out he had a big mouth. That's why I'm clinging to you, forgotten cowboys. Forgotten cowboys of the world.
Yeah, baby.
Come to Iceland, cause it's on Iceland, and you
Iceland.
Can shake the shepherd's hand.
Nice. Iceland.
If you come to Iceland, you can join the local band. Woo!
There he is. That's Jan, our driver.
Wow.
And when we get back at home, we'll also have song number two and his version of Ride 'em, Ride 'em.
My personal favorite.
I believe that some of that Jan stuff's going to make it on our forever machine, like the homo story.
Yeah. I believe so.
I would drive the homos.
Come to Iceland. It's such a nice one.
And he had that big mouth for sure.
I'm speeding now.
Sex for me.
Sex. So anyway,
that's
remember, he's not totally Icelandic. He's German.
Yeah, he is mainly German.
Right.
He is mainly German.
They seem to find their way everywhere.
Does anything for a glass of whiskey.
Speaking of German, the last thing I want to mention before we get the bus is last night when we were walking through the town to go to dinner. Rob's heart stopped.
Yes,
because Rob spotted a gigantic swastika
it
on a building.
It wasn't a swastika.
Reversed, actually.
It sure was a swastika.
It was the reverse of a swastika. They would not have that as a symbol.
Lisa, you took our picture by it. Was it a swastika?
It looked pretty much like a swastika.
Yeah, well, it looked like one, but it wasn't. I mean, we got that. I don't think...
Well, it was pointed the right way.
It was not.
Yeah,
but here's the deal.
It will be when you print the paper.
We have this discussion. Don walked down to this alleged swastika. I was talking to Magnus and apologizing, and then I look at Rob, who ran... He doesn't run often.
No.
He ran down the street.
He was motivated.
And Lisa ran to it also. I said, I want to apologize for these people.
That's
quite all right.
We've all taken turns being the ugly American.
That
apparently.
Was the moment right there. You know, it's like we're going to this wonderful restaurant in the middle of Reykjavik. Hey, look, it looks like a swastika.
It really does.
Run to get a picture.
I ran.
It really does.
I ran so far
away. I'm going to put that in my scrapbook, and I'm going to put a picture of me on the cliff of my scrapbook.
Lots of... We're making memories, though.
Yeah. Sure. And we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Always hot. I just got off the phone with Tom Mercado from the Budget Committee. This thing with Favre is screwed up, Pooch.
What? They can't lump us in with that f***ing Martian.
We're all in the same boat, fellas.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun. Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic. Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really. Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Favre. What's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks? You mean shenanigans?
No!
Oh. You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
Tacky! And I tucked the butcher knife and held up her neck. I said, if you want to live to see tomorrow, you better start frying them eggs a little bit better than what you're frying. I'm tired of eating sloppy, slimy eggs.
You lose.
Hey, what happened?
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Talk of the Matrix Reloaded and an old man calls in this phone scam. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I was listening to you talk about that bottle thrown at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on my way to my grandfather's funeral out in Kansas one time, and I was driving through Lexington, Kentucky about dusk, and a someone tossed a big 40-ounce bottle off an overpass. Talk about wanting to, you know, mess your drawers up. When that thing smashed, it hit my windshield so hard, it just shattered the whole thing in front of me.
It shattered the windshield?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
I didn't know what happened until about a half mile down the road, I pulled over and realized that someone threw a beer bottle off the overpass.
Wow. Yeah, the cop told me I was lucky that it didn't hit the windshield.
Sure. Right.
But anyway, you know, I got my pound of flesh when I drove by and saw the seven cop cars.
The story about the trucker, too, you know, me, the trucker's friend, getting into it when I had a convertible one time with a trucker who was driving badly, and I kind of was, you know, mouthing some words to him, and he was mouthing words back to me. He finally got in front of me, and I could see the left side, and I see his door on the driver's side open up slightly, and the next thing I saw was a metal pipe.
Ooh.
About 15 inches long going end over end, and it cleared the top of my car.
Wow.
And kicked off to the side of the road by about 3 inches.
Mm. Well, Mike, that pipe would have been able to have been thrown at you if a trucker had not brought that pipe.
Yes.
on a truck.
That's yes. It. It probably got there by a truck or whatever they say.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Donaldo E. Miguel. Oh, come on now. It's not this tough. Is anybody listening tonight?
Is anyone listening?
Hello?
Hello. I'm calling to talk about The Matrix Reloaded.
Yes, sir. Did you like
and,
it?
Did you like it? And I imparted the legacy.
Ah, the legacy. Oh, there you go. From Philadelphia.
Sabian.
That'll piss him off.
Sabian.
We got a little pool back in the office area. Even if the ratings are bad tomorrow, the monthly ratings, if they're bad or if they're good. Currently, it's running 19-1 that Tim won't call.
I say he'll call.
I say he will not. I took one of the squares that said he won't call.
I think he's going to call.
I don't think so. It's going to be an awkward call, man.
We'll see what happens.
Anyway, yes, so you saw The Matrix, and simple, did you like it or not?
I side with you, Don. I think it was good entertainment, but it was not as good as the original.
But I guess I don't want to take sides here, but did you like it or not?
It was good.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
I knew he would.
Thank you.
Why?
He didn't sound like a dumb guy.
No, based on the fact that it took him 8 minutes to realize that he was on the air.
Okay. All right. You got me.
You got me.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Just want to let you know, The Matrix was terrible.
Very
terrible movie. Waste of $8.50.
See how quick that guy was to. I mean, he knew he was on the air. He jumps to his point right away. He's got his thoughts organized. He knows what he's talking about.
There you go.
I've been saying, "Hey, Don and Mike," every time you say you're on the air. I get confused.
I guess that's why I made $138 million this weekend.
Well, everybody went to see it, but I mean, this guy obviously regrets making that terrible decision.
I fell asleep. I didn't even get any action from the woman.
I fell asleep also.
I think that's more a sign about you guys than about the movie.
No, it's the movie.
Yeah, actually, that's what I want to talk to you about, Don and Mike.
Yes.
I'm having trouble with the woman. Here's the problem. I'm in school, and I'm really busy lately, and I was wondering if you guys had any advice or could help me out. See, I'm broke. I can't get her anything nice. I can't do anything for her as far as that goes. And she's getting a little short-tempered with me.
Rob gave you a very...
Rob,
just keep it up.
Keep it up. You're doing fine.
Treating her and Rob...
Exactly. Right.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Rob.
Hello there. Hello?
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 Yes. Is anyone listening?
Hi, what can we do for you?
Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, why do you like it so much?
Why?
No, Mike, I don't think he's a Matrix guy.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello?
What can we do for you?
Listen to me.
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes, we're listening.
Am I on the radio finally?
Yes, you are.
Well, heavens to Betsy. I won't use that insidious phrase that everybody uses. It connotates with canned laughter as far as I'm concerned. If you know the phrase that I mean.
No. How old are you, my friend?
Thank you.
I'm a nonagenarian.
You're 90?
That's right.
Wow.
As of 20th of October last.
Are you kidding me?
What, did you...
I wouldn't sit in this chair listening to all that sunroof and all that interesting stuff for 1 hour if I wasn't serious.
90 years old.
Thank you.
Well, this may be the record holder for, like, just a regular caller.
Yeah. So what happened? Did Dr. Laura change her time slot or something?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you the story of my life. At the age of 5, I was left an orphan. Not knowing what to do with it, I took it to an orphan asylum.
Give him some background music. He's 90 years old.
I don't want to
hear
this. He's
giving us his life story.
I don't want to hear this. I just want to know why a 90-year-old guy's listening to our show.
But there might be something good in his 90 years.
Because I've got fortitude. Does that sound what you think for you?
Fortitude.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
There you go. All right. Yeah, we left you when we last left this story. You were 5 years old and an orphan.
Oh my!
I was left an orphan.
You were left an orphan. You lost your parents when you were 5.
No. Let's start all over again. At the age of 5, I was left an orphan, and not knowing what to do with it, I took it to an orphanage.
Oh.
Okay.
I mean, after all, that sunroof story, I it's a hard act to follow.
That's just a joke.
Now you mentioned EMF. Did you have that initial E, or your wife or something?
E-M-F? N, as in Nancy.
Oh, you know, empty nest syndrome. And Mike, I've just recognized the voice. Let's welcome back. He worked here for 10 years. G. Gordon Liddy on the telephone.
Ah, wonderful.
Hey, G, what's up?
Dr. Liddy.
What's up, Dr. Dr. Liddy. Mr. Liddy?
Hello.
Yes, he's worried.
Hello.
Scared there for a moment.
Yes, so ENS. It's EN as in Nancy. ENS.
No, M as in Mike. EMF.
Yes.
Means electronic and magnetic fields. Everybody's worried about living under a power line. Everybody's worried about,
you know what I'm going to do?
Microwaves and worried about radios and now they're worried about cell phones.
Right.
Will do to their hear with a tune to their
brain,
whatever
brain. Right.
You know what?
That's an EMF.
Uh-huh.
You are
electric and magnetic field.
Yes.
You are the Dynamite caller of the day. May I ask your first name, sir?
SB.
SB. What is your first?
SB.
S F
E S S like in Rackin follows R.
What?
Well, between R S between R and
S.
T.
What the hell is your first name?
S.
S
stands for Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
Yes.
Where are you calling from, sir?
Red Bluff. Two words.
Red Bluff.
Red Bluff.
Is that California?
Exactly.
Ah.
Listen,
how's your health, sir?
Never felt better and had less.
Congratulations, you are.
I'm 5 foot 17 inches. I weigh 180 pounds. I got a boy in Australia that's 5 foot 17 inches. Went down there to teach him how to play basketball. If he stayed 2 years, they'd pay his way home. That was in 1975. He's still there.
How about that?
Uh-huh. Sir, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you had a solid...
About when I get up every morning.
Every morning, your regular is
when right. When I lived in Virginia, in Covington, Virginia, we had a two-hole.
A two-hole like an outhouse.
We used to be at Devil. We had Sears and Roebuck catalogs. We had corn cobs.
With right corn cobs.
Yes, indeed. That corn cob is the best. So, that's the job.
I love this. Sir, I have a prize for you. You're the Dynamite caller of the day.
Now, wait a minute. All right, you haven't heard anything yet.
Well, no,
I want to tell you about my first sexual experience.
Go ahead.
I mean, I'm 90 years old.
You go.
We want to hear it.
You go, sir.
And my first sexual experience, well, I was alone at the time.
Oh, that's an old joke.
All right, listen, Sasquatch.
Well, it's an old joke. I'm an old...
You're allowed.
Well,
people think I'm a dirty old man.
We're going to give you a prize. Listen up.
I'm a sexy senior citizen.
We're going to give you a prize. Listen up.
Are you ready?
We are going...
I was always ready, but I couldn't find any woman to take care of me.
Mm-hmm. We are going to send you a shovel.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
As long as
a real prize.
As long as it's got a rope handle, I'll take it.
A rope handle?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay.
Why do you want a rope handle on a shovel?
Well, you answer me that. Why do you want to send me a shovel?
So you can dig your own grave.
Oh, no.
No, no, no. I'm going to be cremated and thrown into the creek where my wife and stepson are.
There you go. All right, good for you. Now.
Then maybe I'll send you an urn.
I've earned everything I've heard from you guys. I've earned it by sitting here for 1 hour to listen to you guys travel. And you know what you guys are?
Don't we have any chicken?
You guys are all a whole bunch of a-holes, and I told that's a bad word to use. So I saw you're all guys from the place where the sun don't shine.
Oh, you give it to us. Don't we have any chicken we could give him?
Well, hold on a second. If you think we're from hell and we're a-holes, why are you listening?
Because I was probably one of the first ones to think up this word of tishlub. You know what tishlub is?
Tishlub?
That's what you guys earn your money on. You emanate, you dissipate, you broadcast tishlub all over the airways.
I don't know, is this guy a fan of the show?
What's tishlub spelled backwards?
Oh, okay.
You got it?
Yes.
Oh, B-U-L-L.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Now, would you? What would you like for a prize?
Well, I don't know. You might start at the top, and since I'm 5 foot slim, I'm fat, and I'm so skinny, I have to stand twice in the same spot to cast a shadow.
About a nice wooden box.
Well, I wouldn't box because my daddy always told me, never argue. Nothing is settled by controversy. You only argue to prove who's right. So when I get in an argument with somebody, I just back off. And that's why I got to be 90 years old.
Is that your secret to living to a nice ripe old age? No arguing? I mean, you know, that would follow that you and I are going to...
Well, I do. I'm a retired pharmacologist.
So what did you think of The Matrix Reloaded?
Well, I haven't been to a flicker for so many years.
A flicker? What about...
That's what you call it. Yeah. That CQ'd into talkies.
There you go.
What about
talkies CQ'd into you have movies.
What about the Hitler TV show? Did you watch that?
I don't watch nothing on TV since the Kings got covered by the Mavericks.
Oh,
I can't stand looking at anything anymore.
Mm. So he's a big basketball fan. That's good.
I am the biggest basketball fan in this all of Tehama County.
That's important too. That's important. Keeps you young watching that game.
Right. So what would you like, old timer? Some gold bond medication?
All I want is to let you guys know that S.P. Bigfoot leaves his footprints wherever he goes. You've probably heard of me. I'm like communism. I'm all over. And since communism is all over, and I'm almost all over, I think this conversation is all over. So,
he's the boss.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, sir.
Bye-bye. There he goes.
There he goes, man.
Wow.
S.P. Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be his real name?
Couldn't be.
There's your demographics on the Don and Mike Show. I know we say it all the time, from the womb to the tomb.
Is that a record? The oldest we...
I think so.
I mean, the oldest, just pick up the phone. There he is.
You know, I thought he sounded like Colonel Sanders. You know,
registered pomologist.
Most folks.
Pretty damn good for 90. Yeah. He really is. Do you think he's really 90?
I do.
I believe him on that, sure.
Yeah, he sounded like he might have been 90.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Hey.
Last night I had a vision.
Yeah.
I saw a man with a big head lying on his couch in his lederhosen, eating schnitzel and sauerkraut. He's watching Hitler on the television, playing softly in the background. Eva Braun sings Wind Beneath My Wings.
All right, get out of here.
He was pretty much alone. I found the ratings, by the way.
Oh, Hitler, hold on, Buzz. Let's take a call, then we'll find out how Hitler did.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Chris, the DJ from Rochester.
Yes, Chris. Didn't you call last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Oh, I wanted to ask you a question.
What was that for?
I thought you hung up on me.
No, that was the other line.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to apologize for last week hanging up.
Okay, thank you. How did Hitler do in the ratings, Buzz?
Fourth out of four networks. CBS's Hitler came in with a 3.7. It was beaten next by Law and Order with a 4.4. Malcolm in the Middle special, 4.7. And number one in the 9 to 9:30 time slot, The Bachelor special with a 5.6. People love the reality shows.
Do you believe that, Rob? The Bachelor beat Hitler.
Maybe this time.
Same thing at 9:30, by the way. Hitler came in fourth out of four.
Well, wait till the second half. That's when it gets bad.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll...
Why do they keep bringing Hitler up? Hitler should have been bombed.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Who are you?
Don and Mike.
Yeah,
I'm
hi.
I'm Jory.
Hi, Jory.
How are you?
We're doing very well, thank you.
That's good.
What can we do for you?
I was watching The Matrix Reloaded, and I actually, it was Thursday night, and I fell asleep. It sucked. The movie sucked.
Thank you. There's another one on your side,
a
Mike.
Person.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, boys. Mike, I got to tell you, man, I went to see that movie, and it could not suck enough.
I believe we're seeing a trend now.
I took a 13 and a 14-year-old, and we all fell asleep.
Well, I guess what that is really a modern-day intelligence test.
Ah, here we go. Rather than that way, now there's no need to go that route yet. Your back is not completely to the wall on this. In fact, there would probably be a 50-50 split.
Where are my people?
Yeah.
Where are my people?
They were there on the ones on Friday.
They're trying to get their
were
money
the real
back.
Like the super
nerds. Yes. Yeah.
Hello. This is the average movie going public.
Don and Mike. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, I was calling about The Matrix.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah. Well, this is Memorial Day.
Let me guess, you hated The Matrix.
I never bothered that crap.
Oh.
Memorial Day, they cut the TV cameras out there on Route 50. They make the traffic jams.
All right, here's another guy who might win the Don and Mike shovel of the day.
Hey, I will tell you right now, and I that's my verbal crutch, people are going squirrely with
Hello.
This weather.
Yeah. Don and Mike.
Yeah, on that Hitler movie last night?
Yeah.
Do you guys know that Hitler was the same guy in the Full Monty?
Yeah. Yes, that's what he's famous for. That actor Robert Carlyle.
And that'll come in handy with that in the second part of Hitler with that big Hitler nude scene.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
I called to comment about the Matrix.
Yes, sir.
Hated it.
Okay.
Plain it.
What can I say? I'm taking the calls. No comment. Hello, Don and Mike.
Is this Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going great.
I got a comment on the Matrix movie.
Yes.
Wow. My God.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy from the west.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I saw The Matrix, and two things were bad, one thing was good.
Well, look, hold on, no. Just, this is not Siskel and Ebert or whatever. Did you
okay,
like...
the one thing I liked was Anthony Zerbe.
I don't know who that is.
He's going to tell you anyway.
Did you like it or not?
I liked it, but there was
you.
Too much...
All right, that's one for me.
Yeah, you got to take that one. Yeah.
Cut him off there. Right there. Don and Mike, hello.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, I got to tell you, I'm gay for The Matrix.
There you go.
Loved
Thank
it.
You. Thank you, Mike. I mean, whatever your name is.
Was it Mike?
No, his name was Wayne, I think.
Dwayne.
No, just Wayne, Mike.
Dwayne.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I saw it on Friday night, and I hated it, and Buzz is the only good one on that show.
Don't stop with that.
I'm
now, I'm sorry, that cancels me out from my side, because I can't accept that.
Divide and conquer won't work.
And also, Buzz is the only good one on that show.
Rob.
It's this show. Why? What did Rob write?
The Gatrix.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, I saw The Matrix over the weekend. It was great.
There you go.
Right. Thank you. There's
only the unintelligent don't like it.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, Mike, come on now.
Only the unintelligent don't like it.
Hello.
Hey. Mysticism.
It's a little early for that, isn't it?
The Gatrix.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah.
I like the mysticism.
You're on the air. Hello.
Yep, it's Joe from Seattle.
Yes, Joe.
Yeah, Don. Hey, Matrix ruled.
Thank you.
Gee.
Hey, Mike, stop it. These are my people who agree with me. It was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and all the other guys we've had are potential Nobel Prize winners.
They're genii.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I like the Hitler movie, and you will like it, too.
Hello, Don and Mike. Last call.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Love the movie.
Thank
and
you.
The place where they're hiding are hot.
Thank you. Now, see, this guy not
chicks
idiot.
In the place they're hiding?
Hiding.
What's he talking about?
The girls, you know the girl the Keanu kissed? Is that who you're talking about?
No, all the chicks like the big dance scene, you know, where they having their party.
Oh, remember that scene where they got like
all underground. That place got a lot of hot
that
shit.
Day where they do that slow camera
gotcha.
Shot. Right. I might have fallen asleep during that part.
Well, my side's catching up now. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
Yeah, this is Tom, man. I just want to talk about The Matrix. I hated it.
All right, thank you.
It was horrible.
You kind of sound stupid, though, Mike.
No, you sounded brilliant.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
Don.
Yes, and Mike.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to say that the only intelligence test for this movie is to see if you're smart enough not to spend your money on it. It sucked.
Yeah, once again, the tables have, the balance of justice is turning again.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
I don't know why I'm taking it so personally. I got no stake in this movie.
Well, what we'll say will be the drop-off. That'll like next weekend, what it does will be the tail of the tape.
Hello, last call, really, because we've got a break. Don and Mike. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
This is Stedman Graham.
Stedman Graham, how did you like The Matrix?
I haven't seen The Matrix yet.
You what?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. That sounds like it might be the guy from Sacramento that called.
Darnell Valentine? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Once again, I just have to quote Hitler.
Is anyone listening?
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Life goes on. A man become preeminent, he's expected to have enthusiasms. 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 What are mine? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy?
Dave!
Baseball! A man stands alone at a plate. This is the time for what? For individual achievement. There he stands alone. But in the field, what? Part of a team.
Teamwork.
Looks, throws, catches, hustles, part of one big team. Bats himself to live long day. Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, and so on. Team don't field. What is he? You follow me? No one. Sunny day, stands are full of fans. What does he have to say? I'm going out there for myself. But I get nowhere unless the team wins.
Team.
Team.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right.
Anywho, last night we're playing poker, right? As usual, I'm winning and not realizing it. And Lenny says that I'm... get this. A little slow. How come you're not laughing? Do you think I'm slow?
We don't think you're slow. But on the other hand, it's not like you go to museums or read books or anything.
You think I don't want to? It's those TV networks, Marge. They won't let me. One quality show after another, each one fresher and more brilliant than the last. If they only stumbled once, just gave us 30 minutes to ourselves. But they won't. They won't let me live. Oh, who am I kidding? I am slow.
Oh, honey. If you feel so bad about yourself, there's always things you can do to feel better.
Take another bath in malt liquor?
There's that. Or you can take an adult education course.
Oh, and how is education supposed to make me feel smarter? Besides, every time I learn something new, it pushes some old stuff out of my brain. Remember when I took that home winemaking course and I forgot how to drive?
That's because you were drunk.
And how?
I believe you found him.
We've been looking everywhere for him, haven't we?
No, the base is supposed to be empty, but I sent the weird intern down.
Oh, you have one of those? We got one of those. What does yours do?
It's just weird.
That's exactly what ours does.
Anyway, he's all yours. I'll send you a bill for the drool.
Sure, you were great.
Thank you, Mom.
Hey, here I am. Here I am.
What time is it?
It's 9:30. Let's go.
We've been looking for you.
All right. That's good. 9:30. That's good. That's good.
Don't worry. We can get there by 10. I want to thank you guys for making this my big night.
Yeah. Hank, there's something, though, that I have to tell you. Yeah, it's 9:30 a.m.
We're looking for you all night, Hank. No. No.
Make it go back. Make it go back. Turn back the world.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Don is not feeling well, and in this segment, it is revealed that indeed Mike O'Mara is the hater. It's the best of Don and Mike.
My voice is just... And, you know, I'm hoping to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to wake up alive tomorrow.
You're an optimist.
I'm hoping to be here tomorrow. I really am.
And I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. No, that's just crazy talk. I'm sorry. You know, it's all about me.
I know it is.
It really is. And I really apologize to all my coworkers because really of late it's been all about me and I, it's summer.
But somehow the bitterness makes you funnier.
I know. You know what they call me on my buddy's boat?
What?
The hater.
Wow.
Really? That's saying something. Yeah, because you know the way I am about the movies and stuff? I'm like that all the time.
They call you the hater?
Yeah. And I
should come visit.
I don't hate the way you hate. You know, I hate everybody.
Why?
<Equally.
laughs>
You know what? No, there's got to be some orderation.
Well, the thing is,
whether you know it or not,
I told my ex this, and while we were waiting in the waiting room today, and it's like a light bulb went off. Yes, that's it. That's it. They call me the hater. That's it. This moment she had crystallized it for her.
Of course, that's what it's always been. Well, let me tell you this: it helps me when I hate really to prioritize. And you must figure, and with you...
No, get out of here. Get away.
What you need?
You're evil. You're bad, you.
Mike, hold on. You're the hater.
I understand.
You're the hater.
Yeah, but I know where you don't know, but it's different.
No, I'm not going to tell you to hate like me. I'm just going to say to you some of my strategies.
I could never hate like you.
What you need to do is you need to categorize.
Yeah, I could.
Yes, you could.
I know.
Anyone can.
Yeah.
All you need is a robe?
No, stop it.
Oh, my God.
Call now, phone Jeopardy.
Ugly.
Jesus Christ. Just remember this.
Yes.
That if I'm sick tomorrow, it's a day off with pay for you.
Well, yeah, I gave up that ambition a long time ago. So, the first 3 years into it, I was looking to get your job, but then I just stopped.
Yeah.
And don't make, none of this foolishness where, you go, well, it's a fine show when Mike's here alone. We're all done with that in this contract, okay? Thank you. Thanks a lot. There, I've weighed in on that one. Okay?
If you have some time tomorrow...
The ambition train has left the station.
If you have time tomorrow, what you really need to do is categorize things you hate.
Yeah, I will.
And then you can, spend a set amount of time with each topic.
Rob, should it be things or people?
With him, it's going to be things. With me, it's people.
Yeah, the things, too, I hate.
Yeah.
Minivans.
Things and people.
Minivans. You know how he feels about strollers?
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about minivans.
Why?
They ought to be taken off the road.
Granite countertops?
I like granite countertops. I use that.
Bring it up an awful lot.
I know, but it's
symbolism.
It's my symbolism, as I discussed, everyone's pursuing the... granite countertops, the best countertop you can have in a house, and people all pursue that, and it's what it's all about in suburbia.
How about people that wake up on a Saturday and have to go to Home Depot shopping for countertops?
They should all be killed.
That's right. You see, that's good.
Thank you very much.
That's good. What you
and if they go in a minivan, get it done before they get to the depot.
Just blow up the minivan?
Right, absolutely.
Like the car in The Godfather.
We're all going to be eaten.
Especially the retarded kids would like their
shoes. Stop it.
Why is it okay for you to say all of that? And I say,
because
retarded kids with lights in the shoes, and suddenly,
because I feel bad for
the
retarded kids with the shoes.
No.
If they're all wearing those light shoes.
No.
I feel that we should help them.
You hate that kid.
No, I don't. Well,
you hated that kid yesterday.
No, if he had been challenged, I would not have hated him. Not a bit. No, not a chance. No.
Liar.
No. Well, maybe a little bit. I don't know.
No, yeah. And when that big thing comes down from the sky that you're predicting,
they're going first.
The retards are like veal.
Oh my God! Stop.
The retards are going to be the caviar.
Flashing shoes will draw attention. Really
no good can come of this discussion.
You know what you're going to do? We have a wonderful appetizer, some purified retard.
So you're saying the okay, all right. That's, I'm not going to go any further with this.
The aliens are going to come down and go,
this foolishness. Mm,
this is an exciting race of people. Mm-hmm. Say, oh, that's good retard.
Oh, stop it! God, you're driving me nuts.
I especially like the ones wearing the lit shoes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Give me that tard.
No.
Butter.
No.
Give me some barbecue sauce for my tard.
Who's next, then?
I thought you were a hater.
Who's next? No, I'm not. Perhaps I'm not. Perhaps I don't have the same zeal.
See, you just have a soft spot for
people that are less fortunate than I am. Yes, I do. Yeah,
you're retarded.
Don't let that.
So am I.
I suppose you're right.
I know who will go after.
We all are.
We are certainly socially retarded.
Amen.
Yeah, like a focus group we are.
And look at him run to the microphone during these discussions.
You know who's going to go after them,
though?
You know who's going next?
Who?
The young and toothless.
Okay.
True, because if you don't have the good sense to take care of your teeth.
The young and toothless? That should have their adult teeth?
Exactly.
Yeah. Very good.
Not like toddlers like that, but if you're like, 25 and you've let your teeth go already?
You know, there's a producer's opening for the real Beverly Hillbillies.
Mike, listen. I think one thing that's happened in today's show.
Mm-hmm.
We've both had a breakthrough.
Yeah.
I had a breakthrough about this whole thing with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had a breakthrough.
To know that I'm retarded.
No. Mm-hmm. You're like us.
No, I'm not.
You're a hater.
Yeah, well, I am.
It's okay.
You know, I am.
Embrace it.
I am a hater.
Embrace the dark side.
I hate everybody. Yeah. Not a chance.
Come on, how about a hug?
Both, you're scaring me now,
come
okay?
On now.
Stop it!
You're a hater. You're a hater.
That's what they call me.
The hater.
And you guys know that I can hate with the best of them.
Yeah, and you know what?
But I hate something. But I really, I think it's very very important to make a distinction here.
That is the queer duality of Mike.
And you know what? And here's something that everybody in our audience should know.
Mm.
We hate everybody.
We do.
And I think really you hear a lot of jokes on this show. I think it's important to point out we hate everybody.
But here's the queer duality of Mike.
Mm-hmm.
That one day during a commercial break, Rob and I will be hating on somebody. And Mike will, from the other part of the room,
mm-hmm.
laugh,
mm-hmm.
perhaps even join in,
mm-hmm.
yeah. occasionally lead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Next day, same topic,
mm-hmm.
same hating.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say, hey, guys, what's wrong with you two?
Well, you know, usually that's, that's normally falls to this guy. Give it a rest. That's how that normally goes.
See what you're doing.
Sometimes I have to tell you,
you are
I
just
find it exhausting.
No, don't, Mike. you don't find that exhausting.
He doesn't seem exhausted now.
I got an ice cream headache now.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Rob, you know what?
What?
He is one of us.
Oh, Jesus.
I've known it all along. You are one of us.
Welcome.
Come on, Mike.
See?
Yeah, Buzz. He's in on it, too. I see it. I witness it.
All right, now Buzz is watching.
Yeah. No, he doesn't seem to be bothered by it at all.
Buzz, you see with the transformation of the mic.
Oh,
I did.
Sometimes it's
Jekyll
fun.
And Hyde. It's like Jekyll and Hyde.
Sometimes it's fun.
This is nonverbal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you just saw
right.
mm-hmm. what Mike was doing.
Yeah, sometimes fun with hate. Yes.
Same thing that Rob mm-hmm. and I were doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
now,
okay.
Now, I guarantee you this is going to come sometime in the next few weeks
mm-hmm.
when I had an opportune moment.
Right.
One of us will mm-hmm. do this. And during the commercial, Mike will say to me, hey, you guys.
Hey, back off.
Huh? Enough.
Please.
Enough.
And then you'll say, hey, and then you'll show me my membership card.
And today it happens to be the Tards.
And the people hating, oh, I hate
right,
that. All right.
Come on, they don't understand.
No, stop it. All right, please.
They don't.
Stop.
They got
ah.
Why?
My, how time flies. You know, when you're sick, that time goes pretty quick.
Well, especially when I take the first hour talking about how effed up my life is.
Yeah, and, you know, not a bad plan, actually, as far as I'm concerned.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.